This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music dear to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
It's 2 o'clock on the East Coast, 11 o'clock on the West Coast, and it's 9 p.m. in Alaska. And for all you horny hockey players out there who are self-proclaimed effing rednecks who don't want children, instead of sniffing around the governor's mansion, I'm willing to do a little puck play. You can put the biscuit in the basket here. So, of course, that means it's 1 a.m. here in the throbbing heart of the Montrose. This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one.
Took you a while to figure out where I was going there, huh?
Yes.
I'm willing to go north to Alaska for someone to go south. Yeah, I felt sorry for that guy, you know. If I was going to be greeted at the Minnesota airport, I would much rather prefer Senator Craig than Senator McCain.
See?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The music we started tonight's show off with. For those of you who figured Jimmy was in control. No, I actually played that song.
Can you believe it? He hated that CD until he found this particular cut on this particular night.
Because the song was Birthday Party Clown.
Mm-hmm.
Is it actually tonight? The actual
it's
day?
It's actually tonight.
Actually tonight.
September 6, 1987.
A day which will live in infamy.
For many people.
That is when After Hours came on the air.
Ta-da!
On KPFT.
Yes.
Woo, happy birthday to us.
We're 21.
Woo, we're late.
Why the hell aren't we drinking?
And we got a birthday card.
We got a birthday card. Not from the station.
No.
I'm sorry. Did,
no.
Was I Michael? I didn't
we got a
that.
Birthday card from one of our most loyal listeners.
Part of our captive audience who sometimes doesn't get us.
Yep. One of our MBBs.
Tigger.
Yay, Tigger. Thank you.
Remembered it. Special thanks to Kroger for putting the cakes out on reduce so that we have birthday cake for tonight.
Yes, that was sweet of them.
Yeah. I'm a cheap bastard and the 99-cent store was closed.
I see. We do have birthday cake, yes.
I have done desserts from the 99-cent store before.
Well, we've got
didn't
a full
like
show.
Them?
We
yes,
have a full
and the cake
you did,
was
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
The cake was good.
Mm-hmm. There better be some pieces out there for me.
You did that for the Colts, didn't you?
Yes.
You did strawberry shortcake.
Yeah, I did strawberry from it was. I did a dessert for one of the event for an event that was inspired by the 99-cent store.
Yes.
Pound cake, strawberries, and sweetened cream cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Just scares the crap out of me that you got fresh strawberries.
Oh,
in the 99-cent store.
Hey.
Hey, nobody died. That was a couple years ago.
We're now down to 5 members.
So it is our birthday. That's why I was scrambling through our songs to try and find something that had the word birthday in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Fancy Division must have something with birthday, but I couldn't think of it right off the top of my head.
Yeah, I love how the song was just about over, and you go, "Which version of Birthday Party Clown did you play?"
Yeah. Because there's a radio edit, which is the one he played, and the regular one, which cannot be played on the air on this show.
Okay, well, then I should have given it to Lisa to play. Apparently.
Well,
I would like to know what photo... I really don't want to know what photo she has of what people to... That's...
What?
I'm sorry, I need to go bleach my mind out there. Here, she must have some pictures on somebody.
What? Oh, ah, yeah. Ooh, yeah. She's got the dirt. I guess she does. She is the dirt.
Yeah. She's still listening, maybe.
Oh. Oops. Let's not forget Ricky. I can never forget Ricky.
Yeah, it would have been nice if you would have told me which Ricky was in that email when you sent it to me. I didn't know who the hell you were talking about.
Oh.
Yeah, I was originally thinking Rainbow Ricky.
How many Rickies do you know?
Well, when you sent it to me, all it said was Daddy Ricky, and I wasn't until I scrolled down on the website that I go, oh, there's the last name I remember.
Yeah,
Rickies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Should we leave him alone?
Clean up on aisle 4.
No
Clean
kidding.
Up on aisle 4.
No kidding. That's all it takes. Okay. So we've got a packed show. We've got the Colt 45s here.
No.
We've got Hatch. We're going to do Roundtable. And we've got some things to talk about first. Because today, Sunday is a packed day. Absolutely packed day. First of all.
This Sunday brought to you by KY.
Ooh.
If you're going to pack it in, you need our help. Oh. I'm sorry, we don't do commercial endorsements, do we? And like you
there
said before, who the hell uses KY anymore?
There is a lot of things going on. First of all, Houston Area Bears are having their beer bust today from 3 until 7 p.m. over at Tony's Corner Pocket, 817 West Dallas. And come join the Houston Area Bears for their monthly social. Check it out and at www.HoustonAreaBears.com for more information.
Do that, too, because that's the Bears as well.
How much information do you need? It's a beer bust? Is it Tony's? Is it 3-7? Duh. Okay. Now, but if you want to find out more about the Bears, go to the website.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And the Houston Area Bears anniversary party is coming up. Arg! Me spy some booty. Yes, it just walked into the talk studio. Houston Area Bears 14th anniversary party. Come join the Houston Area Bears in their celebration on September the 20th. 2008. In a nod to Bear Watch 10, we are celebrating all things pirate this year. So let the swashbuckling begin. I don't write it. I just read it, folks. Dinner will be starting off with a buffet dinner at Riva's Italian Restaurant, located at 1117 Missouri Street, from 5:30 until 7. HAB members can eat for $8, and non-HAB members can eat for $16. If you purchase your tickets before the September 16th date, dinner will be available for $20 at the door after the 16th. You can purchase your tickets for dinner at dubcubed.HoustonAreaBears.com. That's another reason to go there. Get your tickets now. There is a limited number of seats. Following dinner, we will head over to our home bar, Tony's Corner Pocket, at 817 West Dallas, from 8 until whenever, for a hearty good old pirate time as we celebrate with entertainment, receptions, and awards. Get your parrots out. Ooh, I don't know that I can take my parrot out in public. Dust them off, shine
parakeet.
Those buckles, and remember, ho, 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 it's a booty pirate's life for me. It says H-O-E-H-O-E-H-O-E.
They're talking about you.
I don't know.
Okay, which member of the triad is their press secretary?
I don't know.
And if they don't have any parrots, I'm sure there'll be a cockatoo.
I'll bet there will. I'll bet there will. Okay, well, that's happening on the 20th, but we're still talking about today. So there's that beer bus, 3-7 at Tony's Corner Pocket for the Bears. And Sundance Cattle Company is proud to announce the return of their Sunday food sales at George's. That's happening from 5 until 8 at George. Beneficiary, once again, is the PWA LVL Campouts, and the fare this time is chopped barbecue sandwiches with all the fixings, plus potato chips for $3. So check that out. Then, let's see. The Misfits Ball is this. Oh, yes. Misfits Ball 10, A Decade in the Dungeon. That's happening from 5 until 9 p.m. over at the Pink Monkey, 709 Franklin Street, downstairs. That's like underneath the sidewalk. Beneficiaries are the Lazarus House and the Gulf Coast Archive and Museum. Ta-da! Then, if you don't feel like doing that, or if you happen to leave early, you can run over to the Brazos River Bottom, because Live 2008 is happening. That is PWA Holiday Charities, where the entertainment is live and in living color. That's, let's see, the director is Clay Hardy, benefiting the PWA Holiday Charities, co-MCs Chris Beck and Anne-Marie Gill. That is always a fantastic show, because it's all live. No lip syncing.
Yeah, I mean, dead performers are a little boring.
Yeah, they are.
So are dead strippers.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the live girls signs when you go by?
Yeah, I hate the dead girls.
I don't care for the dead strippers.
No, never did. Girls. So, let's see.
Zombie strippers.
That is a
live or dead, I don't really care for the girls.
That is a packed day. And speaking of the Misfits, we were over at the Ripcord this evening, because they were having...
It wasn't the Misfits, it was in L.A. that was doing that event tonight, wasn't it?
Well, in L.A. it's was in doing LA. That event.
It's, no, actually, I'm not sure if Bob Houghton owns it, of the Black Hawk Leather.
He does.
He does. Yeah. And I think it's Mr. Houston Leather.
Mr. Leather Houston.
Mr. Leather Houston. I'm dyslexic, I'm sorry.
I was just going by the fact that I recognize the person on stage was in L.A.
Well, yeah.
Robert Helms. Yeah.
Sir Robert was Helms, yes. He was doing that. However, the winner is Mr. Rene Cantu.
Ah.
Yes, and he is a misfit.
Oh, and I T-voted it. You ruined it for me.
Yeah.
So, congratulations, Renee. We'll be seeing you tomorrow. And I've got one of the posters that I'm going to ask him to autograph for GCAM.
Make sure you give him a pen.
Well, how do you know what I want him to autograph it with?
Give him a pen.
It'll be more little more permanent.
There's no snow in Houston.
In other corners of the... In other corners, let's see. Where am I?
Oh, God, I'm leaving now.
I know.
Something I'm going with you. There's still 30 minutes of last call.
I was
going
to say, Steve's like, you know, he just woke up, so he's in rare form.
Something else going on. ICOH, the Imperial Court of Houston, is bartending and cooking at EJ's from 4 p.m. until 8 p.m. And the bar tips and food sales go to Rain 6. And, of course, every Wednesday, ICOH has their midweek madness show at EJ's, happening around somewhere between 9 and 10 o'clock. And this week, it's Space City Idol Round 1 competition. Then next Saturday night is the Emperor's Turnabout Show, 8:30 at Crocker Bar. That's on Crocker Street, right across Fairview from the Ripcord.
For those of you who remember back, it was Boudreaux's before.
Originally Boudreaux's, then it became the Wrinkle Room.
Wrinkle Room the second.
Yeah.
And Paradise before that.
Paradise.
Then Paradise, and oh my God.
Was that one of the bar?
And there was something.
Peacock International.
Something. Alps in between. It was a non-bar in between somewhere.
A restaurant.
I don't know. That's what Boudreaux's was. Yeah.
I don't know. I just used to drive by the place.
Yeah. Okay. And then Sunday the 14th, Chanel Cartier's runway show at the BRB at 6 p.m. next Sunday night. Okay. And what have you got over there?
The Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star, Inc., Houston, Galveston, USA, North America, Western Hemisphere, Planet Earth.
And coming to a city near you.
However further they're going to extend that title, wants to invite everyone to the...
Tempt us.
into we'll the fourth dimension.
This is the dawning of the Age of Aquarius.
He's wiggling his wire over here.
Because I have no... earphones.
You're the lucky one. You can't hear the show. Instead of headphones behind you. Let's see. The 7th, a child support meet and greet, the IPR's luncheon, hosted by Grand Duke 24 J.P. Gill from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Yeah.
At George Country Sports Bar. The following weekend is IPR Weekend, hosted by Imperial Prince Royale 24, Susan Hayes, and Imperial Princess Royale, Marsha Mink and Gill. This will be, on the 12th, will be Highway Robbery at 8:30 at the Planet Funk Academy. And then going over to Anita's Bar and Grill at 11:30. September 13th will be Turnabout the Golden Age, 7 p.m. at EJ's. And September 14th, the Gold Rush at 6 p.m. at Tony's Corner Pocket. What's the stories on here? The Turnabout Show on... When was the Turnabout Show?
13th.
The 13th. We invite all boys to walk in the girls' shoes for a change. The event always raises big money, so if you know someone that has the itch, send them to the front of the line at Legacy. Many of us local girls will be on hand to paint faces, provide clothes, hair, and, of course, accessorize. For more information on that, you can go to myspace.com/IPR2008. You can also find more information on the Friday Night Highway Robbery Costume Party, the Saturday Cuban Pool Party. Is that where everyone floats on the river, floats in the pool, and then, you know,
immigration,
try and get ashore?
That's a long float.
Not one of the few times, yeah.
It's not Mexican, it's Cuban, I think.
Immigration.
Very interesting there. I wouldn't have expected at one of the court events to have something of a wet foot, dry foot event. with love and dedication, the Chartreuse, I'm not going there. September 21st, Grand Duke 24, J.P. Gill presents with guest MCs Grand Duke 24 and Grand Duchess 24, Sherry Harrell. The Power of Three on Sunday, September 21st, 8 p.m. at George Country Sports Bar. What's this? That's in January.
Oh, they're going to shoot you.
Well, you know what? Let's see. They're supposed to be here in 2 weeks. They can talk.
I think it's next week. Is it next week?
Yes.
It's next week?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember which week. Okay, well, they'll be here next week, and they'll talk about that.
Yeah. Cool.
About what?
Something.
Coronation.
Something happening in January.
Made him say it.
Pride Band, what are they doing? That's Houston Pride Band, October 18th, fall concert, explores music from Europe, Asia, Africa, with a special stop in Las Vegas at Resurrection MCC. Remember, if you can beat it, blow it, or bang it, you belong in a band. You can
yes.
find out more at the HoustonPrideBand.org.
I want to be a band supporter.
Because one time at band camp?
One time at band camp, yeah.
Ooh, here's an interesting one. Decadent Dessert and More on October 20th at South Beach.
That's going to be good.
Yeah, Decadent Dessert.
Assist Hers has invited comedian entertainer Vicky Shaw for the fall fundraising event to entertain you. Once she opens your mouth, you will know she was born and raised in Texas, and you'll never stop laughing. If you get logo and you watch the Laughing Matters one, that's the big Southern girl. Check out Vicky's website at vickyshaw.com. Tickets are $30 in advance, $35 at the door. You can find out more information at assisthers.org. And don't forget, Galveston Island Pride is October 25th. It's a Saturday from noon to 6 p.m. For more information, you can check out gayislander.com.
You can go to galvestonpride.org.
Go where?
GalvestonPride.org.
I knew you would know a little bit more about it, but he didn't put that website on here.
This is kind of a guess. That's a promo
that's
piece.
A guess.
That's a promo piece you have.
You work for the Gay and Lesbian Yellow Pages.
You've outed me.
You know the stuff.
Well,
I work for Lane Bryant. I don't know where the buffet is.
Galveston
are.
Island. It's GalvestonIslandPride.org. And it's going to be a fabulous weekend. It starts on the 24th, goes all the way to 26th. Lots of events at all the bars down there, including a family-friendly family with children and young adults on Saturday, the 25th, hosted by Special K from KRBE, the Rue and Ryan Show, KRBE, and with lots of DJs and entertainers.
You want a job? Here?
Oh, no.
No, Jimmy, I sure don't.
Now back to you, Chris.
But you got that. Price is right.
Let's check that. Let's check the traffic. Traffic's fine up here, Jimmy. Back to you.
Talking to Stephen Bunch from the Colt 45 and Falcon.
And Falcon.
Falcon on my other left.
From everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah.
Well, he did come into the studio tonight, into the station tonight, and he goes, okay, what hat am I wearing tonight?
I did. I said, is this Colts or Reese's? What am I wearing tonight? He goes, you're a Colt tonight.
At least he's wearing something.
You're a Colt tonight.
Praise Jesus.
I could take it off. No, I know.
And if you'd like to see more of that, come up to the PWA, to the land site, get a camp out. That's another story.
Oh, yes. That's in 2 weeks. I can't wait.
You're going, right?
Yeah.
Well, you're keeping your clothes on, right?
No.
Well, you know, we could always.
That red button. What are those seven words over here? I can't
think. Hey, I'm just thankful the fact that he's planning when he gets naked in 2 weeks, he's not at the station.
You're thankful.
Yeah, but
hey, you're the guys going out in the woods now.
Just a thought.
We got somehow served food too.
Just a thought there, Chris. There is poison ivy up there, and there are places that code haggers can't reach.
Well, he's got Judy on the couch there. It's about time she has a little quid pro quo.
Oh, hey.
Oh,
you leave the claw out of this.
Use that cash and just, oh, that one.
Well, they won't let me get naked at the tubs anymore, so, you know, where else am I going to do it?
That's a scary sight.
Now, that's...
They won't let you get naked at the tubs?
Not at my age.
Well, they do ask you to pin it back.
The skin. Are we done picking on you now?
God, I hope.
Most of the time, people can't get naked, it's because there's dairy products in the building. But, you know, they tend to go back.
I am so leaving this conversation now.
But anyway.
I need a cigarette.
We just happen to have one. To my left, for those of you who have not been playing along with our game at home, this is Falcon to Left, back again by popular demand.
Yes.
Yeah. Almost unanimous demand as treasurer of the Colt 45s. Colt 45s are always proud to be here at KPFT 90.1, 89.5.
They Galveston. Set me up for the Cheetos that I got voted in. Don't go for the Cheetos. That's all I'm going to say.
Kids, when you join an organization, don't miss a meeting.
That's right.
Seriously. Come back for one meeting. I've been on a little sabbatical, and I come back for one meeting.
And you're the treasurer.
I'm the treasurer.
No. You know, BDSM has to be consensual, but not being a board member. It's really odd in this yeah. family.
No, I'm actually glad I'm back. You know,
Good.
I did take a little sabbatical and, you know, had to get some stuff together, but definitely back.
Good.
I took a sabbatical, too.
You're not getting no sabbatical. Yeah,
but it's been 4 days. I can drink again.
Because you're good at what you do, and...
talk about being a treasurer, right? Okay.
He treasures very well.
He treasures very well. Yes, he does.
I've already got it done.
And
I'm a good boy. I've already got my report done for the month.
Good for you.
I'm 2 weeks in advance.
Ding dong. Get your finger on the button there, Chris, because...
Boy, that's a big change from when you were with Lou, with the HCC.
Oh! I always had that report
done. Now, Chris... We know how tough a job it is to be treasurer of HCC. It is nerve-wracking. There's lots of numbers.
Oh, my Speaking God, of that, to my right, I have the HCC treasurer, Mr. Stephen Bunch.
But if we're going in protocol, to my right, through a wall, through a window, but able to stop bullets, is Mr. Chris Harrison, who's also vice chair of HCC. But yes. We digress. The Colt 45s, you know, are always here to help you. And if we mention real quick, we have... to announce that it's not about the Colt 45s, it's about the community. But there is a community garage sale. I promised Judy I'd say hello.
Yes.
September 27th from noon until 5 at EJ's. If you have anything you want to sell or you would like to donate, bring it on out. And they'd be happy to sell it, buy it, or take your donation.
I'm going to be out of town again.
How many coronation weekends are there here?
Too many.
You know,
that's
going to
be Waco weekend.
Plus, also, September 19th through the 21st is the LVL PWA campout. This is the 20th campout, and we will be debuting our world-infamous beef stroganoff.
Ooh.
We serve it open-faced, and then you can just put as much of the white stuff on it as you want.
That's not sour cream we put in.
Yes, it is. We just whipped it out. But it's going to be a nice thing. A lot of the Houston club's going to be there. They're going to help out a little bit. And
it's absolutely amazing and wonderful that the Colt 45s drive all the way from Houston. And it's, 145 miles?
Yeah, it's almost to Waco.
And there's a lot of Western shops coming
here.
Yes.
Just to serve lunch.
Out. Well, it's not just serving lunch. Sometimes it's being served, Jimmy.
Well, that's true. But we're not talking about the spring camp out. We're talking
I missed out that one, again. I think.
You must have.
Well, yeah, no, I think...
I've been gone for a year.
This year, I think we have... There's a lot of other clubs that are represented up there, and I think there's going to be a few other clubs going to help serve the dinner. Help
Good.
The served in here. Our one of our members, Tommy Allen, is going to be sharing his meat and his wares with people. And that
is considerable.
That is a visual.
Well, you know, he's got to marinate. That's you know, he's got all Friday night to marinate. So that should make you scared up there in the landslide where nobody can hear you scream. Well, actually, they can if you're laying on one of the picnic tables. But that's another story.
I've been known to
is
do
that. Marinate in the bathtub?
I do tend to hang out at the picnic tables. Yes, I do.
And right off, I'd like to apologize to Jim for not going to House of Pies for pie and coffee. That sounds pretty darn good right about now.
Yeah, but
actually, it does.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, rhubarb sorbet pie. Okay, that was a plug for House of Pies.
Oh, did I say House of Pies? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say House of Pies.
House of Guys. It's House of Guys.
And so what else is Cult 45's up to?
I don't know. You want to talk about this thing? Oh, and also, let's talk about this.
That. Boy,
let's
where
talk the
heck?
Flowers
where
and the other thing.
Oh, where the heck did this come from?
He's good. He's got all this stuff on his computer.
Darn, he knows
bring
everything.
Nothing, did we? We were so unprepared. Like,
he
I'm
has
honest.
A poor,
I walked in and said, I don't know who I am today.
He has a poor memory, but sometimes he throws around the wrong hat.
Well, the thing of it is, I do like to promote things for the cults way ahead of time because traditionally it seems all these wonderful events by the cults are really lightly attended. So we need to get the word out and get more folks involved because there's a lot of good stuff going on.
Well,
the dinners
know,
that you
we
do
intimidate
are great.
People by our good looks, and they just, you know, they don't want to.
Is that
out.
It?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah, definitely.
And you're big members.
Well, not, Dave is a big member.
Well, well, you know, those aren't just.
Tommy's pretty big.
Yeah.
I just don't want to know. I'm leaving now.
Speaking of that, remember, if you're at the BRB, David does not allow any fluids on the dance floor. Our Fall Harvest event coming up November 16th,
yes.
7 p.m. at the BRB, is not just for the Cult 45s. It's also a join-in with Southern Country. Mm-hmm. We've invited people from Eresus, the Imperial Chorus Houston, Misfits, anybody that has love and fun to come out and help us raise not just money, but also food for Resurrection MCC's food pantry.
That's right.
It's filling the food pantry. This actual event gets kicked off. October 26th at the BRB when Tommy Allen has his Tierra of Terror show.
Ooh.
What's
on?
EJ's.
I'm sorry, EJ's. Sorry, scratch that. Go back 8 seconds. and then you can drop off food every Thursday. Southern Country has their dance instructions and their events on every Thursday at the BRB.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be taking food donations on Thursdays as well as the Dreamcatchers on Fridays. And we're hoping to pack a lot of food and toiletries for Resurrection MCC.
Yeah, because these folks need toiletries too.
Mm-hmm.
Just think of all the things you do in the morning to get ready for work. Well, there are folks that need every one of those items that you use.
They can't have my magazine.
Okay. I usually have
time to read?
Well, lots of pictures.
I usually have a weird
most of them aren't colored in yet. I got a new one.
Ah.
Yours is connect the dots, though.
But it's going back
his
to
life
the,
is connected.
As they say, going back to the roots back in the day when the Cult 45s used to help sponsor the Stone Soup
mm-hmm.
pantry.
Mm-hmm.
It was about the food. There's nothing wrong with the money. There's nothing wrong with helping other organizations. But sometimes people feel comfortable going out and buying it and giving it to you.
Cleaning out your pantry.
Yeah.
You know, you've got soup there that, you know, You bought it on sale, and you tried one, and
And Falcon's mad because I put his picture
pack
in the poster,
up.
So we'll take that off.
I was going to say, how did I get my picture on this poster?
Ooh.
What's in my mouth?
It's a couple of cowboys and some plowboys.
It's thin.
I used to be thin once when I was 13.
Speaking of thin, I've got an excuse.
Yes?
All right.
What's your excuse?
Well, it's thin, but I don't know.
What part of you was thin?
Shut up.
Me? It was a dark and stormy night. Well, we'll talk about it sometime on a snowy evening in front of a fireplace, Jimmy.
One day at the Ripcord.
We'll have a few of those Southern Comfort brownies and talk about
Southern Comfortable brownies.
Yeah. You were here when we was talking about
the all over the road back.
And what is that drink that not a lot of debris makes that involves Southern Comfort? Rose imbibed heavily on the last time she was.
I have no recollections of those events, Mr. Chairman.
How dare you say Rose imbibes?
Yes. Well, there's a fine line between imbibing and embalming.
She was enjoying some refreshing beverages, and then she got really refreshed.
You know, she's not here to defend herself.
I know. And that's what makes it so much fun. So right now, if you'll join me.
But she'll be listening to it tomorrow morning as she's eating breakfast.
I was going to say, I told Scott a long time ago, if you don't listen when I'm talking and you don't call in and stop me, you're fair game.
Oh, well.
Back at home, they're doing a historical recreation of the bean scene from Blazing Saddles, I think. Scott by the Mexican food place on the way home.
And this is how our general membership meetings go, too, you know. I got to tell you.
And when are those meetings?
And people wonder why our meetings last for 3 hours.
When are those general members?
No, those are not, because actually it would have lasted almost the shortest period, but it was 55 minutes. It's not exactly on roller skates, but we try. They are the third Monday at the BRB, 8 p.m., upstairs. Mm-hmm. Upstairs in the hidden, you don't have to press the, well, you can go in and ask the bartender in the not side pocket, but the middle pocket. And they'll help you in, if not the door's unlocked. But we meet every...
Did you get all
third
the,
Monday?
I was going to say, I'm totally confused about what he just said. Okay, it's the
and
third
you know the funny
Monday
thing is,
upstairs at the BRB.
Here's the scary thing. I technically was pushing the envelope on getting here, not because I overslept, because I was a designated driver. That ought to scare the living beans out of you.
Really?
Yes. I am.
Ooh.
For who?
Well, you know, there's some
that.
Royalty and there's a couple of other people, you know?
Yes.
I thought we were just talking about mm-hmm. her, obviously. Yeah.
I did not say Rose Smith on the radio.
And we didn't even twist anything to make him say it.
I have no recollections
he
of those events.
And you also meet once a week, the ATF doesn't...
As needed.
As needed.
Yeah.
H Trouble Fund, where we help people with rent utility assistance. If you need your application, you can go to most of... If you have a case manager at many of the organizations in Houston, they have applications or have chances to get them. If not, mm-hmm. you can go to www.colt45s.org or give us a call at 713-528-6077. I've done this before.
Obviously.
You have done
like
this before. Yeah.
Usually got to sip them notes. I mean, he's got this down pat
yeah,
now.
He does. He does.
And you won't hear just my drone voice or hear the fabulous voice of Mr. Falcon. You can hear one of our other members may
my
return your call. Mr. Mike.
Before we leave, and because we've
got
Hatch waiting in the wings.
Are you leaving?
Well, I'm going to go out and have a cigarette.
He usually does leave.
Chris is already having his cigarette.
Falcon is doing a special project in December that I want you to talk about. I would love for you to talk about.
Okay.
Because it will give you a few minutes. And of course, we'll have you back closer to the day.
Every single week until it happens. How's that?
Mm.
Time passes.
Chris is like, no! I saw the shiver.
The button only lasts 8 seconds.
Yeah. Well,
You're doing something
really
big. Not that the cults aren't important, but you're doing something really,
well,
really important for
this
community.
It's really different. I'm part one of my many organizations I belong to is the World AIDS Day Houston Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And the committee was formed basically to put World AIDS Day back on the map and bring awareness and education back to the cause of fighting AIDS and HIV.
Guys, I'm so old, I remember the first one.
World AIDS Day? Oh, okay.
World AIDS Day, a day without art.
Actually, he remembers the first day, period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was wondering, the first day of Earth.
No, it was Stanley that came out of the
In the early years, we went around and we draped artwork
right.
in museums.
Day without art.
Yes.
And day without talk. There was...
Yeah.
Yeah. But...
But it's
we don't
evolved
go to that,
over
We
the
don't
years.
Go to that extreme anymore. No. What we're doing, one of the events last year as part of the World AIDS Day Houston Committee, and you can also go to worldaidsdayhouston.org and on the website and learn more about that particular committee.
Worldaidsdayhouston.org.
Yes.
Okay.
One of the things that we did, one of the projects that was going on was called the Illuminations Project. And this was done through Hope Stone and Jane Wiener and Dominic Walsh. They put this together about 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the Illuminations Project was basically a dance compilation.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't one long particular show, but it was different companies coming in and putting on 10-15 minute performances. So last year she brought in all these people from New York, and tickets were comped and everything. The attendance was kind of low, and we decided to kind of revamp it a little bit. It almost did not happen this year, and they kind of threw it in my lap about 6 weeks ago, and me and Matt Harris and Karen Singer got together as a small committee, started laying out the track work here. Went to the Hobby Center. They're still once again on board. They're going to donate
Good.
The Hobby Center and
Fabulous.
All their staff and
yeah.
basically, it's very minimal cost from us, and we got the Zilker Hall. It's a 500-seat auditorium, regular theatrical stage, and we're bringing dance back and music, and we're going to bring a little bit of the GOB community back into it. So I've asked some certain performers and groups like the Lariats and the Flyboys, the Gendermen, Cheyenne, Sarah Scholander. I've asked some of the better-known talent here in the Houston GOB community to be a part of this, too. But also on board will be the Houston Ballet, the Houston Metropolitan Dance Company, the City Ballet of Houston.
It's going to be an Ed Sullivan show.
Pretty much. I have Urban Souls. And, you know, there's a few others that I'm approaching, too. And if anybody's interested in performing, they can get a hold of me through illuminationsproject@yahoo.com. Or they can call me at 832-428-4009. Not right now, though.
You will have to repeat that much slower because I didn't even catch that.
832.
And I was listening.
No, you weren't. 832-428-4009. That's my direct cell phone, and you can contact me. And if you want to know. Now, the other 20,000 people who are listening, no. But I'm still looking for some professional dance companies or dance schools that they want to participate in this. Basically, what it is what does World AIDS Day mean to you? And we're looking for a few more numbers out of this. So if you want to do it, illuminationsproject@yahoo.com is probably the best way to get hold of me.
Great.
This is on December 6th, 7:30 p.m., and that's basically it. And now I can give more information later. We're also going to do the Illuminary Award. That's going to be a community-based award. We give out two of them each year. And that is for, one's going to go to an individual who has done a lot of activism, education, awareness for HIV and AIDS. And the other one's going to go towards a business organization group.
Good.
So we're going to ask people, same email, contact me if you want to nominate somebody. I'll get the nomination forms over to you. You can nominate whoever you want. We're going to review them all and announce the winners at the nominations project.
Good.
Okay.
Okay.
So.
So.
Let's go back to talk about Stephen now.
Yeah.
No, make him go to the pay website.
But,
oh, there is one?
Basically it for me. Hi, Lane Bryant. Yeah, I did my shout out. They said I got to do a shout out.
To Lane Bryant?
To Lane Bryant.
I love Lane Bryant.
I've never met him before. He's oh.
Yeah, I work for Lane Bryant. I'm sorry, you know.
So many of us do.
If you're a member of a Rhesus, I mean, I told Chris Beck that he ought to make that a house
yeah.
for Lane Bryant. You know, I think at one point there was almost 11 of us, I think, working there.
Yeah.
It's
just incredible.
Yeah. So, but yeah. Ladies at work, we're going, you're going to have to shout out to us, right? I'm going,
okay, ladies.
They don't know me as Falcon, so they know me as Dave, but, you know. Dave said hi, yeah.
One of the best known gay safe houses in Houston.
Well, guys.
Hey, we have a wonderful sale going on right now. No.
And you laugh, but when he used to hand out Chris Beck would hand out those coupons to the big girls for the foundation.
Well, you know, we got this saying now at Lane Bryant because it's a running joke. 80% of women wear the wrong size bra and 100% of drag queens. So.
I don't do drag, so I don't have. I'm not.
Oh, baloney. I should get you on stage at the holiday.
Last time he was in a dress, he kicked the habit.
Like I said, yeah, I teased about it. And I went through my MP3 player one night. I kept going, I'm not going to do drag. I went through my MP3 player one night going, drag boy. It's like,
surprise.
And what's your drag name again?
Christy Sotheby.
Christy? Oh, yeah.
Because like those fine
institutions. She's an auction.
Because like those fine institutions, I go to the highest bidder.
Christy Sotheby. Okay, guys, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you,
Jimmy. Thank you, Chris.
Oh, and tell Judy and you thank you for the Red Ribbon Snowman.
You
snow
bet.
Person. That's Judy for you.
There's no snowballs?
Person. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a snow person. There's no snowballs.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't see any.
I
was looking.
I don't know how she checked.
Okay. That's cool. Thank you.
Hatch will be up in just a couple of minutes.
Yes. I've got a group in here. I watched a concert of them this afternoon. And then I started searching out information about them. We played them several times. This wonderful little group here, Scissor Sisters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I love Scissor Sisters.
Yeah. Then I found out what the word Scissor Sisters means.
What?
What?
Scissor Sisters.
Yes.
It's basically a nickname for lesbians.
I didn't know that.
Well, the term, the Scissor Sisters, comes from an act of two women.
Oh.
Scissoring.
Oh. Never mind.
I saw that and I'm like, oh my God. I was also surprised at the fact of finding out.
How did I not know that? Well, because I'm not a lesbian.
And one of the singers, basically, you know, one of the guys, his birthday was last week.
Yeah.
The kind of bear cubbish guy,
mm-hmm.
Baby Daddy,
mm-hmm.
who's from Houston.
No, really?
I thought they were a British band.
I did too.
And I went to Wikipedia, and it's like, okay, the one guy is from Houston. The lead singer is from Arizona.
Didn't know anybody was from Arizona.
Yeah, well, he quickly got to Seattle.
Yeah.
And you know, even though he sounds like Elton John, he said he never listened to Elton John until he started performing with Elton John.
No kidding.
They actually, if I remember correctly from what I saw in there, this song Elton John's a part of.
Oh.
And Scissor Sisters from the album Ta-Da, I Don't Feel Like Dancing. And then upcoming is Hatch. Scissor Sisters from the album Ta-da, I Don't Feel Like Dancing. It's one of those things, I turned on the TV today and saw music on television, and I knew it wasn't MTV. It was Logo. This whole weekend they're doing musical stuff. Hold on. Oop, didn't turn your mic. There we go. So it was like there was an Elton John special.
Right.
Yeah. They did Ziggy Stardust. I think they did it the other day. Yeah.
Yeah, well, actually, Ziggy was on that. It was also on VH1. They did it again.
I'm trying to think. They did a bunch of.
Yeah, it was, yeah, like I said, I saw caught the second half of the Elton John, which is interesting. It was interesting when it was called Me, Myself, and I. And basically, they had a narrator, but he kept popping in, making, you know, comments about this. And it was interesting seeing the way he reacted with the stuff. Cute in some part, and other parts it was, you know, like when they got to Diana, you know, he had to say, you know, can we stop this part right now? But, you know, then parts like when he said, you know, the reason why I started the AIDS Foundation, Elton John AIDS Foundation, was with all the drugs he did, he shouldn't be alive. And with all the sex he had, he shouldn't be alive. And he said he's got a second bite at the cherry. And he goes, I shouldn't have said it like that. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, that's why he did that work. So they had that, and then Scissor Sisters from Club O2 in London.
Right.
Which is why I thought they were a British band. I always thought they were...
Oh, no, they're an American band.
Yeah, that's when I went to, you know, Wikipedia, was looking up all that stuff and going, the guy's from Arizona?
Mm-hmm.
But just kind of stalling for time. Is there any more hatchlings out there?
No, there isn't. But I would like to say hello to the lovely Miss Sally Huffer and to one of our hatch friends named Michael who's listening. At least I hope he is.
Was he supposed to be here tonight?
Yeah, but he couldn't find a way.
Okay, we should start by introducing ourselves and saying hi to everyone. This is the Hatch program. My name's Elizabeth.
I'm Josh. Hello, Houston. How are you today? Good morning.
I'm Brendan, one of the facilitators for Hatch.
But yeah, we were supposed to have a few more people here tonight, and everyone gave up and said that sleep was more important. I don't get this fact. I don't see why you should sleep.
I always get my 12 hours of sleep. I need it. I need it to look this cute.
Because you don't work.
Yeah, that is true. I don't, yeah.
What kind of homosexuals aren't willing to stay up till 2 o'clock, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday night?
Exactly. This is where I'm lost, but...
It's these slackers of this next generation coming along. You can't... How are you... There's things called disco naps, you know.
Disco naps? Yeah. I've never heard of that. I've never heard of a disco nap.
Oh, God.
It's that little nap you take there before you go out so that you're somewhat refreshed.
Yeah, I had one. It's about an hour and a half before I got in the car to come here.
Because
I knew there was no way I was staying up until 3 if I didn't have about an hour in there somewhere.
Oh, I just get pumped up on sugar.
He does. He had half that cake out there.
It's amazing that I don't weigh 500 pounds. I'm sorry, but I eat like sugar like there's no tomorrow. But it's probably the Diet Coke. The Diet Coke helps a little bit. It keeps you up.
He made a joke saying 500 pounds. I'm in the room.
Aww. How could you? How could you?
And I do like the Diet Coke joke, because if you ever see Gabriel Iglesias, he says, why do I drink Diet Coke? So I can eat regular cake.
Oh, no. Have you ever heard the Ellen DeGeneres skit where she says, you know, everyone goes to the movie theater to order, and, you know, because it's a dark room, they go in and they order, and they've got, you know, I'll have two of those candies, large popcorn, and a Diet Coke. You know, to make up for the balance of the candy and the
what?
The popcorn.
How else would I make up for the balance? I couldn't add just a regular Coke. It's Diet Coke.
It has to be diet. I'm eating healthy.
It's refreshing.
Yes.
Diet Coke. Yay. The breakfast of champions.
Actually, that's not that longer Diet Coke in there. It's Diet Drop Red.
Oh. So this week we were going to do a kind of thing about this year in TV, mainstream TV, cable TV.
Yes.
In the gay, lesbian, and transgendered aspect.
Yes.
You know, what shows are going to actually go ahead and have a gay, lesbian, or transgendered storyline.
Previously have had one.
This year is notable as it's since 2001, 2002. There's been an average of about one lesbian or bi character on prime time.
Yeah, ABC has basically stepped up and taken on, like...
But this year, there's going to be four permanent and then several, like, I don't know, 20-something storylines that are coming to come in and out of primetime TV, which is the basic channels, not the cable.
The basic channels. One of my favorite shows, Ugly Betty. Ugly Betty is numero uno in my book, because you don't have to be pretty to have a lovely heart.
Although I think she is pretty.
She is.
America Ferrar is my god. Okay, never mind.
The other ugly Bettys around the world are not that attractive, but our ugly Betty is actually
but
cute.
What was it in Spanish? Betty La Fea. That ugly Betty that ugly Betty was a little like okay.
Well, the other ugly Bettys are actually not that attractive.
Yeah.
America Ferrar on the other hand.
Oh yeah.
She's very cute.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Yes, she's very curvable.
Oh, very.
Curvy.
Hence the fact she was in the movie Real Women Have Curves.
Yes, of course. Exactly. Of course. But we actually have one transgender and one gay character. The gay character is Mark, and he is Wilhelmina's. Wilhelmina is the evil person on the show, and it's played by, Vanessa
Williams.
Vanessa Williams, and she plays the evil woman.
You had Vanessa Redgrave and Vanessa Williams.
Vanessa Redgrave came up in another conversation I had earlier today.
I don't think Vanessa Redgrave.
I don't even think you can say she's a carbon copy of it.
Yeah. But Mark is Wilhelmina's basically assistant, and then we have the lovely Alexis. Alexis went away in the beginning of the storyline. She didn't exist, but it wasn't until the second season that she popped up. Well, Wilhelmina basically was planning something, and we thought that it was another person that she was bringing in, but Alexis used to be Alex, and she basically is part of the Mead family who run the magazine that Betty works for. And so Alexis had her surgery, and she came back and as Alexis. And the father was mad because he didn't want her to have the surgery and go through it. And I remember there was this wonderful part where Betty's in the elevator, and she looks at Rebecca Romijn Stamos, who basically plays Alexis.
Yeah, I cut off the Stamos.
Yeah, no longer Stamos. But, and she's like, okay, this is what I had done. And she says, like, I had, my cheeks were narrowed and all this. And she's like, Betty was just like, wow. But there are other many characters that we have them in lists.
We actually came prepared this time. We wrote down lists and little note pages.
Yes, we did.
Because I wanted to actually talk and be able to know what I'm saying.
Yes.
For the lesbian in prime time, the big one that everyone's looking forward to seeing is Grey's Anatomy. And
I want to see
Callie and Erica's the characters in that show at the end of last season were
that
in
was
a lip
great
lock.
Kiss.
They were macking. They were macking.
I was like, okay, they were doing like split screens. I'm like, just do the kiss. Don't go to everyone else's crap. Just let them kiss.
That was an awesome TV moment.
It was. And a lot of people were afraid that they would play it off this season as something that happened last season. But from what has been said, it looks like that they will be continuing as an actual storyline.
Oh, good.
So it'll be interesting to see what they do with that, but I'm really looking forward to that one. It's your turn again.
Oh, okay. For the gay characters, now let's see. We have, in a reoccurring roles, we have brothers and sisters, which the gay character, the token gay character, Brothers and Sisters, is basically about a family, and one of the sons is gay, and just recently he got married to his partner, I believe,
lawyer married the waiter.
Yes, the lawyer
only
married
in Hollywood
married the waiter. And but he basically helps run I think he begins to help run the family business, which I'm not sure what the family business is. And
it's
just,
a produce, yeah, import export produce, and there's a side business of a winery. And he's been a lawyer on in an outside law firm.
Yeah.
I have to step in real quick and say you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, always the World Wide Web and kpft.org. Now broadcasting in high definition. You can check out on kpft.org and find out what you can get on Channel 2 of 90.1 if you have an HD radio.
Well, also on Brothers and Sisters, the uncle just came out as gay, and it was a big shock because everybody thought that he had a thing for the brother's mistress, but he came out as gay and it was scandalous. But there are a couple other characters, but I'm going to let Elizabeth.
On the new season of Bones, Angela is going to have a fling with one of her exes, Roxy, who was mentioned in the last season.
Dun, dun, dun!
I just discovered Bones. I love that
show. Bones rocks. Angela is Bones' best friend. She was introduced in the first season. She's always been the open, out there person who was always open to everything. And in last season, when her and her Hodgins were getting ready to get married, they had to track down her ex to get divorced.
Yes, and it was a big scandal. And the
private investigator says that she tracked him down through one of Angela's exes, mm-hmm. Roxy, mm-hmm. which, of course, brought on the fact that she's bi, which we've known, I think, since season one.
Yes.
So this season they've announced that there will be a storyline with Angela dealing with her ex, Roxy.
Ooh, because she already had the big fight with her ex-husband. Now it's just going to be more exes just popping up out of the woods.
If nobody's seen the new season yet, I mean, we don't want to mess that up for a lot of people.
Yes, it's just
the first episode of the new season just aired last
week.
Yes!
I loved it. I was obsessed.
I had a little TiVo'd. Another character is 13 on House. Is that is the number or something like that?
13?
It's what it says. It's the new character on House.
Let me look at that.
Oh, yeah, she was called 13.
She was called 13. What's the character's name?
That's
13.
13?
What it was is...
I know he was going through the list of trying... They made him hire new people.
Yeah, and so what he just did is he gave everyone a number.
So...
And took away their name.
Oh, so they... We don't know her name yet.
No, I think they do, but he
keeps calling her 13. And so she was number 13 in that group.
Right, and she's going to be playing a bi character on this season. So they're going to bring in that.
But we had, in the previous seasons, we had two characters from two of the... Two of the new teenage soap opera kind of things, such as Greek. We had Calvin, who he came out to one of his best friends, and for a while, since he's in a fraternity, he thought it would be a big deal. But once he came out, it wasn't a big deal at all. And then in the new, brand new series that was last year's big hit, we have Gossip Girl, and I believe, I can't remember what's Blair. Yes, no, not Blair.
The little brother.
I can't remember her name, but it's the blonde one. I don't. Yeah, it's not. Her brother Eric Van Der Woodson, who's 15. He came out as gay. Hey, I know a little bit. I was like Blair. I'm grabbing for names.
Oh, God.
I know about the show. I watched two episodes, and then I was like, oh.
No, let him be honest. We were sitting. I was at. He's texting me. I was at my house. He was at his. And all of a sudden, I get this text and go, "Are you watching Gossip Girls? Oh my God, this is such a great show." I'm like, "Oh my God, please don't text me about Gossip Girls. I am so not watching that right now."
Yeah. But it's all good. It's all good. But also one of the biggest gay things right now is Top Designer and Project Runway. Oh, Project Runway, how I love you. I would marry it, yes.
Last night was hilarious. There's like 10 of us sitting around a table, and half of the table, and it was actually half for some reason, half of the table knew what Project Runway was, who was on it, who won, who should have won, who needed, you know, who had the best designs. And the other half of the table, which included me and two or three of the people I know, were all sitting there going, what the fuck is he talking? Oh, sorry.
That was.
What is he talking about? Because, you know, we don't know what this show is. I don't watch this show.
Okay. Now this year, it got really fabulous, because this year they did something really outrageous. I loved it. They designed outfits for drag queens. Oh, yes. My God. Oh, yes. I loved it. And the person that won, he made this outfit. And it was this skin-tight sailor outfit that was all sparkly.
Pink sequins.
This is why I don't watch the show.
And then it had the special bow that hides everything. You know, if you're a fellow drag queen, that hides the candy. That's exactly what they say. And it showed off the drag queen's assets.
Yes.
Yeah. But I loved it.
Now, is that the same show that has the couple that has hooked up now from?
What? Who hooked up?
One of those shows, I forget which one it was, two of the contestants, I guess would be the term to use in the reality show, ended up becoming lovers during the show. I forget which one
I'm
it was.
Now I have to look that up.
It's called the World Wide Web, sweetie.
Ooh, yes. I'm going to look that up and gossip.
The great thing about reality TV nowadays is you can always count on a gay or lesbian character on those shows now. Which is great.
It's kind of the real world rule.
Yeah, like America's Next Top Model has a lesbian character on it.
And I'm excited.
I heard they're going to have a transsexual
character.
I believe they are.
They're going to, this season, they're going to have their first transsexual character. And if she wins, she'll be the first transsexual person to ever win a reality TV show, and I'm excited about that. I'm like, I'm gonna watch you. Yes, but I don't watch American's Next Top Model all that much. No, but since it's gonna have a transsexual person on it,
a policy of no, you know, reality TV on my TV. Because I am a non-reality TV person. I am all about the fiction. If it is not fake, I am
so
not.
So good. It's so good.
I used to be
good.
That way, too, but I discovered The Amazing Race over the holiday. I love The Amazing
Race.
Oh,
that's so good.
I have watched a few reality TV shows. Most of them were like Fear Factor and that kind of thing.
Yuck.
Because I'm not really all that into, I don't want to watch people's drama.
Right.
And all of those shows are is, once the competition goes down, everything's all about drama, and I can't handle it. I can't handle my own drama, let alone other people's drama.
Oh, Jesus.
So, another show that is going to have either a gay, bi, or transgendered, or lesbian character on it is going to be 90210, the remake. They have announced that there will be a recurring character on the show that will be either gay, lesbian, or bi, but they have not announced who it is or what the character is going to be or if it's gay, lesbian, or bi. They're keeping it a big secret. But that is what they have announced, that show will have a recurring GLB character on it.
And let's see, what just premiered, I believe, was the... it's on, I think it's either on TBS or it's TNT, and it's called Raising the Bar, and it has Jonathan Scarf, and he plays Charlie Sagansky, and he's an attorney, and he's gay. And he also happens to be sleeping with a judge, a male judge, and it's all scandalous, and it's all, at least I hope that the information is correct. I'm not sure. Because I haven't watched this show, so I'm looking forward to watching that. And it just premiered like 2 days ago, so I'm like, yes, I shall watch that.
A show that I'm actually kind of interested to see what they do with, because Knight Rider had a TV movie about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. It's a remake of an old TV show. In the TV movie, the main FBI agent, when we meet her. She's got done surfing, and she's getting dressed, and she walks up to her bed, and she's putting her badge on and her coat and her gun, and there's a woman in her bed. And you get introduced to her as being either lesbian or bi, and when the show got turned in, the movie got transferred to TV, changed directors and producers, and they have not yet said whether or not they will continue this this storyline, which is kind of sad because it was something that everyone was kind of looking forward to.
Mm-hmm. A Project Runway love story.
Ooh.
Wesley confirmed to People that he's bumping uglies with fellow Project Runway contestant Daniel.
There were
tons of rumors on the internet that they were dating after both hoes changed their MySpace profiles to in a relationship.
Ooh.
They also listed each other as their top friend.
Ooh.
What is it with MySpace?
Hey, I know when I have somebody on my top space and it's not a woman, we'd be like,
I think my
how
top 10 are, I just kind of randomly move them around from the people who I know. Like, you're my number one, because if he wasn't my number one, he'd like bitch slap me or something.
No, you're like number, yeah, you're number one.
Yeah,
but they're both top friends. Wouldn't it mean they're versatile?
Ooh.
I guess so.
Anyways, there are also a lot of other, like, non-primetime shows where lesbian or bi characters will be shown. There's a teen show called South of Nowhere that plays on the N. Mm-hmm. This is its last, like, 9 episodes because the season was canceled. The show was canceled officially.
It wasn't all that good.
It wasn't all that good, but it was a show on the N for lesbian kids.
I like Degrassi. Degrassi
has a character on there as well.
I remember Degrassi when it was on PBS.
Oh God, it was.
Oh my goodness.
And that when they came out with the first gay character on that show.
Mm.
Oh dear God, am I old?
The new show has a lesbian character. She came out 2 years ago. Her name is Paige Michalchuk. Is the character?
Oh, Paige. She's
Paige
actually.
Paige
is a lesbian. She's bi.
Well, Paige has.
She's bi now.
Well, Paige.
She haven't seen in a while.
Now let's explain. Paige previously. Her brother actually came out as gay,
right.
And he was dating Marco,
right.
Who was the token gay person in the high school.
Right.
And so now, I guess the gay gene has spread to Paige.
Well, Paige falls in love with the bad girl in the school.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
They get into a relationship, and the relationship actually didn't last that many episodes.
Yeah, it didn't.
But it had her coming out as either bi or lesbian.
She's a little popular. She's the popular kid on the show.
She is the popular kid on the show. So that's the two that are on the end is Spencer and Ashley on South of Nowhere, which is the story is about these two teenagers and Spencer kind of coming into her own and figuring out she's a lesbian and dealing with that. And the last 9 episodes are airing in September or October, the end of this month or next month.
Mm-hmm.
So I've actually kind of followed the show because it was kind of one of those shows. When you're coming out, you want to see something on TV that kind of makes it more. And the L Word and South of Nowhere, and the one show I could have on TV while my parents were watching was South of Nowhere. So, because I don't think my parents wanted to see Shane and all of her.
Oh
glory.
Yeah, it's the same thing with Queer as Folk. I'm like, no, I can't watch that. But I watch Degrassi. But I was like, no, I don't think.
See, I never could get into the whole Degrassi thing. I don't know. I never really liked the whole ensemble teen cast in high school and the drama. And
well, what I like to do, I like to record the episodes, are basically order them on demand for free.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, oh, well, this one doesn't have Marco in it, and I would skip it.
Well, that is very true. They don't always have the same characters, and you don't always get to follow the same storyline, so you have to kind of fast forward to see where you are in the show.
But I'm going to talk about some other trans people, because we've been talking about gay and lesbian. On cable, they actually have there's a TV show called The Riches. It has Minnie Driver in it, and their son, the first episode, you see their son, but he's dressed up like a girl.
He's in drag.
He's in drag. And he is a cross-dresser. And all throughout the show, you see him occasionally, and he has a wig on. And it's like, oh, isn't that adorable?
In the first episode of the show, they are at a...
A prom.
They're at a reunion. They're at a reunion, and they're swindling the people at the reunion, and the two daughters, or the daughter and the son, supposed to be there to kind of distract people and take their wallets, and the son is dressed up and drag.
You know, the interesting part with talking about the riches and that kind of a theme is the father, Eddie Izzard.
And he's gay.
No, he's not gay, he's straight. But he's an executive transvestite.
I remember they were talking about that. They were talking about how was the character, the son's character, based upon him when he was younger. I thought, yeah, I remember that. I remember that. But also on in the line with that is Dirty Sexy Money. And it actually is one of the only... It actually is the first show to have a reoccurring transsexual woman. The transsexual woman is, I think
it's not the character that's necessarily transsexual. It's the actual person.
It's both.
The performer.
It's both.
The performer. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to point out. That it's
the performer, actually, she is the first person on who was on broadcast television who has been a transsexual. And to have a recurring role. So, and her name is Candace Kane, and her character's name was Carmelita. And I've been watching it, and she's having an affair with one of the, I can't remember his name. He's from one of the things with the bunch of brothers, the Hollywood family with a bunch of brothers. I can't remember. But she actually is, I'm actually excited about that because I'm giving a woo-woo for my transgender people. Yeah.
Well, you know, one thing you didn't mention was, you know, you got Lance Bass on Dancing with the Stars.
It's on his list. And he's not paying attention.
That is not on my list.
Okay. But there was a big question they had was whether or not he was going to perform with a woman or a man.
Oh, interesting. Ooh.
And there was a lot of talk about what they were going to, you know, what they were going to do. And they put their foot down and they go, you know, this is ballroom dancing. I'm sorry. He had to dance with a woman. He's dancing with a woman.
See, I printed out these lists for him, and I guess I missed half the list. And at the very bottom is, like, the reality TV, which I kind of...
Yeah, I have...
For some reason.
And I made my own lovely list, which she happened to forget the transgender people. And I was like, those are my people. I had to represent.
Hey, be honest. You said you were taking care of the transgender
people.
Well, you didn't show...
But see, the thing is, I mean, it's a big change from how we've gone in the past. You know, I'm of the older generation who remembers when... One of the first reoccurring gay characters actually was started off was going to be a transgendered character, and that was Billy Crystal's character on Soap.
That's right.
That was, you know, was going to go. The first episodes were he was gay and his boyfriend was a star quarterback on the semi-pro team, and so that the fact that they could be together, he was going to go get a sex change operation
so
they could be out in public, and then. He got dumped and then went through being, you know, depressed and suicidal about that. Then, you know, portrayed as a gay character for a long time. By the time the series ended, he was straight.
Right. Yeah, I think he was a flashback to an earlier life where he had a multiple personality of some sort and was this... I used to watch Soap.
Yeah.
Soap. It was a great show. But, yeah, it was too bad. I mean... He had Billy Crystal, of course, he's a great comedic actor, and he really brought a lot to that role, and I think it was a landmark role, but you're right, they started him off easily as the character you can make fun of, and then it kind of progressed. It was too bad they made him straight at the end.
But it's one of those things that, you know, it's when you think back and you go to where these roles were, of how unusual it was to see it. And then, you know, some of it, I don't remember it. And then, you know, going back watching reruns of MASH and going, there was a gay episode of MASH. You know, All in the Family.
Yeah.
Where I think it was Divine that was on that, wasn't it?
I'm not sure.
I mean, there was a drag queen episode on All in the Family where a drag queen, I think it was, like I said, I'm thinking it was Divine, had a heart attack in Archie's cab, and he resuscitated her, and she came to thank him, and that's the point where he found out that it wasn't a woman he was giving mouth-to-mouth to. It was a man. And there was a couple of gay characters in there, if you know.
Yeah.
I'm just throughout amazed the time. At how many firsts happened on All in the Family.
Oh, yeah.
It was just, it really was a cutting-edge series.
You know, and, you know, go back in time. I'm surprised Logo isn't showing Brothers.
Oh, yeah, from HBO. Or
so, from Showtime. It was a Showtime series that had two gay characters on their show back in the 80s.
And I think that was really the first character that was comfortable being a gay man. It wasn't a stereotype to some degree.
Philip Charles McKenzie played a very stereotypical gay man, and Paul Regina played the more straight-acting, almost queer-questioning.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that was back in time. Even with Showtime, there was no sex. I don't even remember if there was any gay kiss in it. But it was an interesting story. It was revolved around three brothers. One was an ex-football player. One was a manager at a sanitation department.
Mm-hmm.
And then the youngest brother. And the youngest brother and the football player brother ran a small bar restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was that interaction of the family and, you know, sticking together, and it was something that was kind of groundbreaking. That was like the 80s, back at that time. And, you know, even then it was that unusual thing, you know. Melrose Place couldn't show a kiss of a gay couple.
And 30-something was almost brought down because they showed two men in bed together. They didn't do anything, but they were just in bed together.
So, I mean, we've come a long way, and then you start seeing these characters and the evolution of where it could come to. I mean, I remember going down to the bar to watch the Ellen episode. And, I mean, all the bars here were packed just for that point of, you know, waiting for her to say, "I'm gay," and the place erupted because it was a first. You know, this was the first time I had a gay character played by a gay person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's all those little weird firsts. You've got the gay couple on the soap opera.
Yeah.
That there's rumors that one of them may actually be gay in real life.
Which soap opera?
As the World Turns, is it?
Yeah, there was one of the first lesbian storylines in soap operas was on All My Children.
All My Children.
Bianca and...
Yeah.
But yeah, they asked the actress who played on Knight Rider, she's like 20 something years old, you know, when they cast her, if she had any issue with being lesbian or bi in the first episode or the mini movie. And she's like, in these day and age, you know, this day and age, when you're cast in a role, you know, you have to expect that because it might happen.
Yeah.
Because it's not like a shocker anymore to see a gay or lesbian character on a TV show.
Well, I mean, look at all the mainstream, you know, the big actors who have actually played gay or bisexual roles.
Yeah.
I mean,
won Academy Awards.
Yeah, won Academy Awards for that. Colin Farrell, you know, can't get more macho there for the time that he was actually seemed to be a star. You know, played a gay, well, bisexual in House at the End of the World.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, House of
It's a darker version of Threesome.
yes, it is.
Basically, you know, he's after this girl, who's after the girl's after the gay guy, the gay guy's after Colin Farrell.
And it's just all over the place. Because it starts off and I believe Colin Farrell's character and the other character, they become best friends.
They're friends from an early age, and it was...
And it has, Sissy Spacek. The Sissy Spacek is the gay son's mother.
Yeah.
And I remember watching it, and Colin Farrell's character, it starts off, his brother dies. He hits a plate glass door. And it's like, and it under you, as it goes by, you understand why he's so dark and why it gets so dark. And it's very interesting.
It's not one of those happy-go-lucky movies, but it's something that's...
It gets better in the end. But
it's interesting seeing the interaction. And like I said, because I was teasing one night, I did a... I had a Colin Farrell bisexual movie marathon. because I went from that to...
Alexander.
That's what was on next. I wasn't sure if it was Troy or Alexander. So, yeah, it was weird to be able to say you had a Colin Farrell bisexual movie marathon.
Nice.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah.
Yes.
Other TV shows that are coming back in the year, next year, actually, is on the BBC is... Torchwood.
Yes, Torchwood.
Which was the fun thing
because
John Barrowman is very openly gay in England, but he's very, very popular. He's a stage performer. He's from the U.S. He moved to England about 20 years ago, met his partner about 13 years ago, and when they cast him in Doctor Who, they wanted somebody who had no issue with kissing the Doctor and then kissing
Rose?
Rose, yes. Rose. It was Rose at the time. Had no problem kissing the Doctor and then kissing Rose, and they found him. And he is just this, you know, he's described in the show as, how did my mom say it?
Omnisexual.
Yeah.
That means you'll have sex with an alien.
Yeah. Yes. That's what he describes himself as in the show. But he, in real life, he's actually explaining, you know, he's in love with a person, not the, you know,
yeah,
the gender.
If you, trust me, just turn on BBC America and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not the going, oh, all British men are poofs. it's just, there always seems to be, if it's not open, you can look at it and go, that one's going to be coming out.
Yeah.
You know. I saw a new series they've got on BBC America called Skins.
Yeah.
And there's
yeah.
one character That's in there mind. That I haven't seen enough. I saw the commercial for it, and I'm like, okay, they're showing this on regular television?
Yes.
Basically, you know, the scene was... Some guy was in masturbating, and his friend walks into the room and he goes, "You're using a picture of my sister." And I'm going, "I have to watch this series." And the one character on there, Sid, I think is his name. He seems to be like he could be a queer questioning character. Mm. On there, because like the one girl shows her breasts and goes, you know, "What do you think of this?" And he's like, "Hi," but he's hitting on this other girl, so it's like,
maybe, maybe not.
But it's an intriguing show, and from what I've seen so far, they're definitely earning their TVMA rating.
Yeah, they definitely the BBC and, you know, all the BBC TV shows. I mean, you watch them and they have gay and lesbian characters come on and off the show, or characters they don't actually, like, you know, have that they're, you know, they're gay or lesbian, but, you know, on and off the show.
Ab Fab. Everyone was looking at those two, going, "Okay, when are the two of them going
to
hook up?"
Exactly. They're on and off the show all the time, and it's like no big deal. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the U.S., I mean, sometimes nowadays it's not as big of a deal. It's become more mainstream.
Yeah.
Obviously, by the fact that one of the biggest shows out there, Grey's Anatomy, is doing this and not having, you know, not losing anything by it, hopefully. Really cool.
Somewhere along the line,
there's going to be a big issue.
Some group is going to, I think they've probably already written off Grey's Anatomy, so they're not, you know, we're not going to complain about them because, you know, nothing we're going to do is going to change it.
Oh, exactly.
But there's always going to be that controversy of someone trying to show gay realism. I mean, look at the hot water that Hallmark is getting in because it wants to put gay greeting cards out,
yes.
gay marriage cards.
Mm. And it doesn't even have a same-sex couple on it. It has two hearts,
yeah.
or like two birds, and it's like, what? It doesn't, if it showed, I was like, what's the matter?
Which is not, which is, you know, but the, group is, scroll down. There's one group that actually is showing a picture to oppose gay marriage, has a gay marriage scene. on their little site that they're doing. There we go. That is for, scroll up a little bit, I think it's the top. Concerned Women for America scary gay wedding graphic. It has a picture of two men in tuxedos. One is being fed wedding cake off of a plate. But he's using a fork, and everyone knows that first bite of wedding cake is supposed to be from...
Shoved.
Shoved in the face. And it's called Happy Wedding or Gay Marriage.
I don't know if you really want to see a scandalous picture. When John Barrowman had his wedding, they were one was wearing a tux, one was wearing he was wearing his kilt because he's from Glasgow originally, and it's just this too perfect picture with the cake. What is it with these pictures? When you're getting married, it's the shoving, it's the cake. I don't know.
Well, if you're gonna have a movie wedding, you have to be like, oh, here, dear. And then afterwards, you're going to be like, well, behind the scenes, shove this in your face. That's how I would do it.
I'm trying to remember what the reasoning was. There's some sort of tradition on that of why you
shove,
force feed the cake up their nose. There is a reason.
Maybe you're supposed to get the abuse out in the out in the open.
It's one of those little weird traditions that comes down.
I mean, never see the bride before the wedding, the white dress. And
it's a reminder of who the traditional money or the breadwinner was in the family.
Oh, a reminder of who the traditional breadwinner or the...
Hmm. Be like, yeah, take this cake. Take it. Take it in your face.
Yeah, that's the... you get all those sorts of weird traditions that come out of... You know, the exchange of rings isn't old school religion. It's Romeo and Juliet.
Right. You get a lot of traditions from odd places.
Yeah.
That kind of become common.
But no, like I said, with the TV theme, it's interesting being, of the older generation who's gone through and seen the way it's progressed, and how nowadays it's like the character pops on, it's like, oh, big deal. Right.
Yeah,
it used to be if there were two women kissing on a show, oh my God, their careers were over.
Or, I mean, just have the change of, occasionally, L.A. Law might have a gay theme to it, or...
Grey's Anatomy last season had a couple, an army man who was in love with another army man, mm-hmm. and he was dying, and there was that storyline, and it was like, yeah, it was a storyline.
Yeah, but it's like...
House has had several...
You get the twisted parts of how these things go. I remember, even if it's not the gay... not a total gay theme, but like on... going back to an older show, Nash Bridges, which was set in San Francisco.
Yes.
I remember sitting there watching with my parents at one time, and I started laughing at the one storyline that they were trying to find... when they were trying to be private investigators... And somebody stole a drag queen's Cher dress.
Oh!
Right. I remember that episode.
That is scandalous.
And
I would never steal
it. And I started laughing at it. And my mom says, because we're talking about the one bar where it happened at. And I started laughing. My mom goes, well, what, when you were in San Francisco, you went to that bar? I said, no, but the bars in that district aren't going to have a drag queen in them. or like with NYPD Blue, every, 3 or 4 months, they had something happen in a gay bar. It's like... That's not a gay bar. There's lights on in it. I can see across the room. there's too good of a lighting,
But yeah. I remember when on Roseanne, they had the two... it was her boss and his partner. They had a marriage. Not a marriage, but like a civil union or something like that. And they were talking about how scandalous that was. And that was like... That was barely anything.
Well, there was that, and then there was the lesbian kiss they had with Roseanne,
exactly,
and then
Roseanne, all throughout the show, she always, whenever she saw that woman, she'd be like, "How you doing?"
Yeah. Then the grandmother ended up being gay,
right.
But as it turns out, Jackie was truly gay, which I could see that from a mile away.
Who couldn't?
Who could not see that? I'm sorry.
I want a DJ.
Isn't what's the middle daughter? The black haired
Darlene.
Isn't she in real life out?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I was reading an article about that. She's bi or something, because I know she's with the.
Go to NNDB. It's going to be your best guess on that.
Yeah. I was reading something about her character in the lesbian, bi, and transgender column of TV stuff I was looking through. So it's either bi or lesbian or something like that. But no, there's even TV in movies and stuff like that when the like Buffy the Vampire Slayer when Willow and Tara had their relationship.
Oh my God, you're right.
It's a big thing. She's like either a lesbian.
She's
or,
lesbian.
Yeah.
Gilbert is an ex-smoker and out lesbian and very politically active,
mm-hmm.
volunteering with PETA, Pediatric AIDS Foundation, Meals on Wheels, and AIDS Project. Los Angeles. I did not know that.
Yeah, I was reading somewhere about her, and I'm like, oh my God, she's a lesbian. I did not know that. It was so cool to find that out.
It makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. But yeah, the whole Willow and Tara thing.
Yeah, her half-sister is Melissa Gilbert from Little House.
Yeah. No, I knew that part. And she has a son and a daughter with her wife.
Oh.
Her wife is Allison Adler, a writer. She has a son, Levi, and a daughter, Sawyer.
Kind of like Jodie Foster.
Yeah. Levi is about to turn 4. So he was born to Adler with Gilbert via an unnamed sperm donor. The daughter Sawyer was born last year to Gilbert with Adler via an unnamed sperm donor.
Well, that's cool.
Did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that until I was going through, and they were mentioned. She was mentioned because she's going to be in the TV show. What? Her boyfriend in Roseanne.
Johnny Galecki.
On the TV. What TV show is he on?
That
right
nerdy
now?
One.
Yeah, he is. It's like Science something or other. It's a TV show on right now.
Oh, nice.
And she was cast as like a 2 or 3 part kind of person to come in for a couple times. And then they found her so awesome in the show that she's gotten a permanent part in the show in the next season.
Cool.
So that was kind of cool. Because that was a... I was reading this article on TV shows that were primetime and everything, and how in 2001, 2002, of course, there was the large burst of lesbian and bi characters on TV shows, and then it kind of went down to 0 and 1, kind of hovered at 1 for a little while in their reoccurring roles. And now it's kind of gone back up to 4 on primetime and about 10, I think, altogether.
Mm. So one of the big differences from then and now is that they're allowing gay and lesbian couples on TV or characters on TV to be more affectionate toward each other. Mm. Because when you had a gay character or a lesbian character, you didn't see them with whoever they were dating or their love interest. And if you did see them together, they were never kissing. They weren't holding hands. So that's been an evolution.
It's really funny you bring that up, because on The End, when South of Nowhere was being shot, in Degrassi and in other shows on The End, that if they had a boy and a girl, they would be laying down in bed together or whatever, and it wouldn't be a big deal. When South of Nowhere started shooting, they had the first scene where Ashley and Spencer were together, and they shot it with them laying in bed. And they were told that they could not shoot the two of them in bed together laying down. They were not allowed to have them kissing in bed laying down together. They could only be sitting or that kind of thing. And they've had imaginative ways of having them, one standing and one laying down and that kind of thing. But they were given such strict rules because it was two girls.
Hmm.
So there's still a little bit of a, you know.
Well, there's also that same part with the gay couple on As the World Turns. They shared a kiss on screen, and then it was a long time till they kissed again. You know, the Valentine's Day show came up, and they had all these straight couples kissing, and these two just kind of hugged.
Yeah.
And there was actually a website that was going, these are how many days it took for them until they kissed, and they started complaining, and finally they shared a kiss again, and it's like, well, that's interesting, because, I mean, you know, soap operas, it's a different set of rules you see on there. You know, I remember when they had the first gay teen character on soap operas, Ryan Felipe, playing a gay teen on One Life to Live.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what got hooked. You know, my mom watched that series, and so I had an excuse to watch the show, and it's like...
I watched, when I was growing up, All My Children, the first lesbian character on the show was Bianca.
Yeah.
And the storyline with her, and it was kind of...
But that was a lot. That was more recent.
That's more recent.
That's within the past.
Well, that was because that was the first. What's interesting is like that was the first lesbian on soap operas, whereas the first gay male was a while ago.
Yeah, I mean the Ryan Felipe story. You know,
it took him a while to get to the lesbian.
He was actually playing his age. You know, it was 14, 15. So, you know, we're talking... God, am I old. How many times have I said that this show? Like I said, after I said I remember Degrassi High, I correct myself. In here I go, wait a minute. I actually remember when it was Degrassi Junior High. Those of you this generation would be like watching Saved by the Bell before it was the college years.
That's stupid. I watched the Saved by the Bell.
Oh, my goodness.
But no, like I said, that's... And I remember some, and I watched it because they had the different kind of characters that you don't get to see in regular programming.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's interesting watching TV and then spotting the character going, interesting, they got a cape, you know. There was a show on the end, I only caught the first episode of it. It was a one of those Get the Kids Healthy shows.
Mm-hmm.
So they took a group of kids from two rival schools in Chicago. And Lalea Ali was the host of it. Basically, it was the kind of like the Biggest Loser for kids was the concept of it, really.
That's horrible.
Well, the horrible part was the first challenge that they had, it was Chicago. So they had to climb the Sears Tower.
Oh, I remember seeing that.
And there was definitely one of those kids on there was gay. I forget what school it was. I'm sitting there going, okay, yeah. And it was interesting to see. It wouldn't mention anything about that. But I watched the first episode going, that's a hell of a physical challenge to do for your first episode.
That is a big challenge.
It's like, come on, climb the Sears Tower.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
But you know,
I couldn't do that as a grown person, climb this.
But you know, it's an interesting part in watching television. Even though you mentioned several shows, you know, those are the big examples. Those are the ones you can tell. You know, it's those subtle ones that get in there. I tease about the fact that a couple of years ago we lost one of our gay characters on gay cartoon characters when Ed and Eddie went off the air, and there was a very flamboyant, very meticulous, prissy little boy.
Right.
You know, who had the retainer in there, always carrying a handkerchief, playing with unicorns. And it's like, you know, we've lost our generation's Pink Panther.
Right.
Basically. You know, and to see those sorts of things of how, you know, it's kind of slipped in there. And you think, why isn't anyone commenting on this? You know, they went after SpongeBob.
They went after the Teletubby.
They went after the Teletubby, but they're letting this character on every show, and it's not on their radar. It's like, hello?
Yes. Television has definitely come, in the last 10 years, has really made that leap towards having no issue with... Well, there's some issue always going to be there, but like having where the actors have no problem doing a lesbian or gay or whatever kiss.
Bisexual
kiss and... Not having, you know, the actors are getting used to, it's kind of part of your job now. Be prepared to have that happen.
Right. And I think Will and Grace actually did a lot to make that change for actors in the real Hollywood to say, you know, it's no big deal.
Yeah, well, a lot of the actors who are taking those roles going, you know, this is something I can make, you know, make as a challenge to do those sorts of things. You know, how can I play it but not play it, I mean... As strictly as you would think, you know, it's not, you know, I can play a show. This is how good of a, I think I remember one comment Hal Sparks' father said after Queer as Folk, said, look how good of an actor my son is. He's able to play a homosexual.
Right.
trying to explain to people that his son's really not. But I mean, right now we've got Logo.
Yeah.
If you do the pay-per-view, you've got Here TV. And like I said, I'm watching Logo and, you know, I'm getting more impressed with it.
Yeah.
In the beginning, it was like, you know, not too sure about it. But it's, with the exception of Sordid Lives, I don't...
I love it. I love it. I watch that every single week.
I don't know. I can't get into it. I saw the movie.
Well, I was wondering, because when I originally saw the series, I was like, I wonder why they don't have Delta Burke in it. Because I never saw the movie. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that Delta Burke was in the movie.
Yeah.
But I was like, Delta Burke would have been perfect for this series. And then I watched the movie and I was like, she was in the movie. Interesting.
But the problem is with Sordid Lies is because it actually goes before the movie starts.
It's a pre-series.
There's a prequel to it. Prequel. And, you know, it's a little strange. And when you've seen some of the other characters and that part, I'll give you a little heads up if you really like Sordid Lives. Next year, there's going to be a theatrical production of Sordid Lives.
I'm so going to see that.
In Pasadena.
Pasadena. Hey, I'll go to Pasadena. And watch it. What's his name? Leslie, I can't remember what his name is.
I forget what his last name is. But it's going to be the same theater that's going to be doing the Laramie Project later on in this month.
I did hear that.
Stage Door Production is going to be doing the Laramie Project. And next year they're going to be putting on Sordid Lives.
I'm so going to see that. Maybe I could be cast. I could be a hot trendy mess.
Wow.
Hey, I have the dresses in my closet. It will
swing,
be all.
Swing back here in 2 weeks and see if you can find out what's going on with that.
I will.
Because hopefully we're going to be having them on the show talking about the Laramie Project.
Oh, cool.
I said, the Stage Door Production Stage Door Theater down in Pasadena is doing the Laramie Project September 25th through October 15th.
That is very cool.
We'll be talking more about that. We just found out about that, and we're going to be, like I said, we're hopefully going to be having some of the crew and the cast in here in a couple of weeks.
That is cool.
Yeah, I can play a hot tranny mess, but there ain't no tomorrow. I'm already...
There's no hot tranny mess in this show.
Yes, there is. Yes, he is.
You're calling him hot?
No, you... It's hard to explain. Being a hot tranny mess is like you're just a huge mess, and it's like...
Especially with your blonde hair now, I can see you playing Olivia Newton-John's part.
No,
complain about the blonde hair. He's not supposed to be blonde. He said he was going to go brown.
Hey, and I wouldn't even have to wear a wig. I could just wear this and be the drag queen performer of Tammy Wynette. I can bouffant this. I was like, hire me, and I can bouffant this like there ain't no tomorrow. I'm like, it's the same color as Tammy Wynette. I don't want to play house. Come on.
On that note, let's start wrapping up. Let people know about Hatch and where they can find out about the group and what all y'all do. And
well, you can reach us at our email.
Okay, drop the...
Well, I want to.
You can find Hatch at
www.hatchyouth.org.
Or you can just go into Google and type in Hatch and you'll find it.
And our number is... Our lovely number is 713-529-3590. I will repeat. Our number is 713-529-3590. And the number of the gay and lesbian switchboard, if y'all want to reach us the number is 713-529-3211. I will repeat that. The number is 713-529-3211. And finally,
I think that Clorox soaked in too little too far.
I think it did. Please stop doing that.
You're just prejudiced against the Southerners. And to reach the Montrose Counseling Center, the number is 713-529-0037. And I'm going to repeat the number one more time. The number is 713-529-0037. If you need to reach us, just call the Hatch line. And a reminder, the gay and lesbian switchboard is 24/7. If you need any help, just call them. They will try to help you to the best of their ability. So until next time, I'll talk to y'all later, folk.
Talk to you later, guys.
Adios.
Unfortunately, I didn't bring my Sordid Life CD to play a song for you.
Ooh.
You have a CD of Sordid Lives?
Yeah, the soundtrack.
Sordid Lives. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't... I really officially can't play the Sordid Life song. on here because the theme song had to be cleaned up for television.
It did?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember listening.
Sitting on a box of Cracker Jack, you're going to get a really crappy prize.
Yeah.
Not even the movie.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
Because there's a couple of songs. I do like playing Are You
Are You Lonesome?
Are You Gay?
Are You Gay? Oh.
Yeah. Sharon Alexis song. She's in there later on.
I'll look it up.
All right. We are going to play a little music and then coming back with the round table. God help us. Put a little Jim Varavos in your ear, talking about reality show stars who are gay. He was a former American Idol, and it's Estás Inconsciendo. You're going crazy, and that's about going here. Jim Varavos, since we were talking about gay television.
your mics are live, guys. Remember that.
Well, now they're dead.
Woohoo!
Gay television characters, and Jim
Varavos. Okay, keep that shirt on, boy.
Jim Varavos was American Idol,
And I don't remember if he was out when he was on the show, but it came out afterwards. Oh, goody. Some intelligence is entering the room.
What?
Said some intelligence is entering the room. And then comes Jimmy. Oh.
Well, you know, we couldn't leave you in here.
What?
I mean, you know.
What?
Her Highness.
Just being snotty.
I'm just playing with the mic.
And this is different, how?
Oh,
it likes to be felt up.
The nut. That's a cute story.
The nut?
Yeah, we'll do it later.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
Where was it? Where was it? Keep going, keep going.
God.
No.
I'm busy.
Where was it? All right, let's just go.
So we're going to say who's on the clicker tonight.
Give me the clicker.
There's your clicker.
Clicker.
Click on. All right, let's see.
Yeah, he's talking about the mouse.
What do we got tonight? Anything good, Chris? Come on.
So we're going to say who's all in the room tonight.
Nut trouble.
Yeah, go ahead. Talk
amongst yourself. There. Talk about the holy.
Shut up on that line. It's older than Jimmy.
Well, I'm virgin. I'm in here. Who else we got in here?
Yeah, let's go around the
horn.
Go around the horn here. See who we got.
Merlin's here.
Who else?
Kendrick's here. Hello.
Anybody else?
Thor's here. Thor's here.
Louder.
Ben is here. Jonathan is also here.
Yay!
Welcome.
And we have Jose on the other side.
we'll save that one for a little later.
Come on, Jonathan, get on in. Come on.
Let's go here to Toll Road.
What's coming off the wire from Toll Road?
Yes. What freakish events have occurred?
Well, apparently Toll Road, Toll Road had gotten press credentials to go to the Democratic National Convention, which...
Oh, good God.
Oh, my God.
pissed off the Catholic League, which is nothing...
Oh.
And apparently they either didn't try or did not receive credentials to Toll Road to go to the RNC. But they did a lot of coverage on the Republican Convention, and they have one wonderful picture in there that she must not have realized who she was standing with. There's an interview with Michael Sangalatori, very well-known gay columnist.
Signorelli?
I forget.
Michael Signorelli.
Michael Signorelli. They showed a lovely picture of him standing next to Sally Kern, the Oklahoma state representative who, basically said, how evil and gays are and
right.
That other fun stuff. So, and he interviewed her. So apparently she didn't know who she was standing next to.
That's funny.
I'm not into politics, though. Yeah.
A bunch of stuff here on Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this about the Republican ticket. First of all, Sarah Palin, her son's hot.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Her baby's baby daddy?
Yeah.
He's hot.
Yeah. I haven't seen him.
So. The McCain boys? They're hot.
Yeah.
Look what they have to look forward to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of McCain's.
Now, the Navy retired or whatever, the one that was in the military?
Well, two of them are in the military. One's Navy, one's Marine.
Okay, well, the Navy one, I saw him.
There's hope yet.
Woof.
Woof. Chris, it came across to me earlier about the 100 gayest and greatest albums.
Okay.
Came out. It was a list on one of these sites I came across earlier.
A lot of talk this past week with, the surprise. We didn't even get to talk about it last week because it was just announced who she was, and it's like, who?
I could almost like that woman.
A hockey mom.
Woman's got a sense of humor, but that's still not going to get me to vote Republican.
I like the one. Bumper sticker that was put out. It was on LSA. Brandon had found after Governor Palin's speech. There said, "Dear Governor Palin, Jesus was a community organizer. Pontius Pilate was a governor.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh, wow.
That was my second cutest political thing I saw this week. Another one was on a website. They had yard signs that looked like the John McCain signs, you know, the blue with that little arrow thing with the star. And the sign said, "Get off my lawn!"
Oh, goodness.
Oh, that's cute.
And say again, there is a reason I own a T-shirt that says every time a Republican dies, a queer angel gets its wings.
Let's see. I'm trying to remember, there was some interesting...
So I take it we're all voting Democrat?
Well...
Just for the record,
I don't know.
There will be a cold day in hell.
Oh, so it's going to be a write-in vote. Okay, then.
Actually,
vote Republican.
I've made comments about it before. There, I'm actually looking at the unusual ticket, because back before when you were, you know, trying to decide between Hillary and Barack and all that, it's like, why choose if you're going to, you know. Why go through all that decision? Am I going to vote for a woman or a black person, when you can go for both? The Green Party ticket has two African American women running for president and vice president.
Wow.
And I'm like, yeah, that's an interesting one.
There you go. And
considering the one, was the one that, you know, upset the Republican Party so much, they went after her she's a Democrat before. They went after her before, while she was still in office, trying to get her knocked out.
Wow. Any candidate has all these things up behind them and all these pluses and flaws and, you know, whatever. But if I hear one more story about John McCain being a prisoner of war, well, guess what, John? We've all been a prisoner of war for 8 years now. All
right.
Okay.
True story.
Word. I knew there was a story.
From before Iraq started, from the day we had 9/11.
Okay, what are you coming up here with, Chris?
Trying to get to the other side of there, I don't remember... No, there was an interesting story.
Well, you'll have to remember Bush really wasn't elected president anyway.
Oh, yeah. I got to say this real quick. You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. Listener sponsored commercial free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Got close there, too.
And he got it in one breath.
Yay!
He's having a good week.
Christian. But yeah,
Christian.
Hey, there's not a space in there. What
just
are you
in
doing?
Case you were wondering. You know those subjects you're never supposed to discuss? You know, religion, politics, and yeah.
That's the segment of the show.
That's this segment.
Yeah,
that's this segment.
Yeah, we try to do it every.
We're just explaining that to one
Chris
of our new folks here.
Got something is coming up for us.
Pretty much. Yeah, exactly. What not to talk at a dinner party.
Ooh, who's here?
Hello?
It's Miss Thang. Who's Miss Thang? Oh, Mark's here?
Oh, wow.
Then, of course, yeah,
he's going to spike you for that.
He didn't hear
yeah,
me.
With his hair, but anyway.
Maybe so, but
remember,
still.
Yeah. Remember the interesting part that the certain conservative Christians were hoping would rain on Obama's closing speech at Invesco Field, and then all of a sudden the rain hit during the Republican National Convention. Yeah.
Instead of raining on that, on the Democrats, it hurricaned on them.
Yeah, they got a hell of a blow that time, didn't they?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Gave a whole new meaning to the phrase blow.
Okay, there's a church in Ohio, I believe it is, that that is putting out signs based off of, is it Carrie Teller? That song, I Kissed a Girl and I Think I Liked It.
Let me guess.
Yeah, that's Perry. Such a cute
song. Is it World Harvest Church?
I'm not sure what church it is, but they put up signs there saying, I kissed a girl, I think I liked it, and then I went to hell.
Wow, that sounds
like
World Harvest Yeah, Rod Parsley.
I like Jackie Beat's version. I kissed a squirrel and I liked
it. Oh, goodness.
I'd really like to believe that God isn't as big a bigot as some of its followers. It's people like that who do those Halloween thing, you know, those...
Where the hell are you finding this?
Those horror... those House of Horrors, only it's all the modern day things like AIDS and premature and abortions and things. Ugh. They think we're twisted.
Okay, what are you looking at?
I don't remember. I looked at... It's just...
What are you laughing at over there?
I thought I remember. I went on this one website.
What's his name?
No.
We're not talking about what you do, Adam.
No, I'm trying to. I thought there was something on here that I was on adult Christianity.
Adult Christianity?
Yeah. What a trend we have in Jesus. And I thought I remember seeing an article on here that one. I go through so many different sites and that I never remember which ones I was on here before. This is the one that has the Get Off My Lawn, Lobbies for McCain. Mm-hmm. Women for John McCain, there's a little coat hanger in it. Jesus adhesive bandages, you know, some of the twisted things here. I'm sorry, I'm usually a little, remember more about what I'm doing on here.
Early onset.
All time.
Very early.
All time.
I think it's contagious.
And Chris, Lady Dementia hit me upside the head there, Chris.
Sometimes I forget.
No, yeah. It's Lady Demented.
It's like,
no, we know he's demented.
Oh, let's see. The wonderful outfit that Cindy McCain wore the first day, basically the slicker.
How do you mean?
$300,000 for that.
Good Lord.
Of course, you know she can afford it.
What was that
it?
Made out of?
I don't know, but it says London Fog all over it.
Yeah. London Fog, man.
You couldn't get lost in a fog wearing
remember
that
outfit. Remember the old yellow raincoats?
Yes.
Yeah, that's basically what they're calling it, a yellow slicker. Let's see.
Vanity. You know, you go to certain bars, they're wearing those for an entirely different reason. And they wouldn't waste $300,000 on them for that.
$300,000.
And by the way, is it my imagination, or has her face been pulled up so tight that if she frowns, you know, her face will just snap off and kill somebody?
Honey, that face is seeing more knives than a Benihana.
That was an Oscar de la Renta dress she was wearing.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, the dress was $3,000. Her 3-carat diamond earrings were $280,000.
And
we could put a dent in the national dent on her outfit.
You know,
goodness.
It's nice to know that our lobbyists are hard at work making sure that they get their vote in and that, you know, at least she looks good for the cameras.
Mm. But now, like, I noticed on the thing there when Sarah Palin talked, and when she had her 30 or 40 minute speech, her hair was down. All the rest of the time, her hair was up.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they wanted to, when they were focusing on her for that long, they wanted to make sure she didn't have that naughty librarian from every Cinemax.
Wow.
But then maybe more people would pay attention.
Mm.
Right?
And she didn't introduce her
That's
baby
exactly
daddy.
Exactly what she frelling looked like. She looked like a librarian.
Yeah, she did. She didn't look like no hockey mom to me.
They wanted to emphasize her youth.
Yeah, in contrast to, you know...
Skeletor?
Yeah, Skeletor there, yeah. Exactly.
He looks like a gerbil. Seriously, he looks like a gerbil that has food stuff in
his
ears.
Oh.
Okay, it's Haven's Corner Church in Black Lick, Ohio. They did that Katy Perry sign. The Reverend Dave Allison, pastor of the 100-member church. It's not something that's really a shock if you're a scriptural person. I mean, we mean it as a loving warning to teens.
Wow, yeah, that's loving?
Well,
now, well, I kissed a boy and I liked it.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, officially,
yeah, but
didn't like it.
If you really want to get biblical on it, Leviticus says, man shall not lie with man as he would with woman. It says nothing about woman lying with woman.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
But you
and
know,
even Pat Robertson likes a little lesbianism.
In that same chapter, it says you shouldn't tattoo your body.
and you know, and talks about not touching the skin of a dead pig. But you know,
that,
America loves football.
Yeah,
come on.
Well, yeah. I love fried pig skins. I do.
And bacon.
It shows.
Oh God, I love it.
I mean,
hold on. Let me check the next page of my script. Duh.
Watch your language.
I didn't say nothing wrong. I didn't say that.
I mean, so I mean, you know, to hand us, you know, a few verses out of, you know,
please,
a whole thing for a whole tribe of Jewish people. I mean, you know, it was for the priest tribe anyway. So I don't think any of us at this table fall in that category. But I mean, you know, but then again, you know,
well,
what,
you
what
know,
am I
saying? There are those who love to take bits and pieces and make an entire issue out of it. Like,
yeah,
you want to look at him and go, have you read the rest of the book?
Right?
Have you read the rest of the script?
Editors on the TV news.
There you go.
Exactly. I can take any sound bite from anybody and make anybody say anything I want them to?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they actually said it
or not.
The Bible and actually take the actual literal translation. There's nothing in the Bible that even says anything about homosexuality from the original translation. The only thing that you can even infer is from Sodom and Gomorrah, and it's an inference. Mm. I
mean, and not just that.
I did a research paper on it, and it's like...
There's nothing in the New Testament. There's nothing in the New Testament that was written by anyone who actually walked with Jesus that condemns homosexuality.
Right.
Yeah. It was all written by Paul, who was Saul, and as I've said, he became an apostle after he saw the help wanted sign hanging around Judas's neck. He never walked with a man. He got visited by the ghost of Jesus while walking down the highway. And he learned, his religious teaching was Judaism, which is what the book of the Old Testament is, which says, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
They had the scary God, we had the loving God.
And that whole religion that sprung up around Jesus, I'm amazed at how little they know about their own belief system.
Right.
Every day, I'm amazed at how little that... I've actually heard people who identify as Christians say, Jesus was such a good Christian boy.
Yeah, no, he was a good Jewish boy.
He was a really good Jewish boy, folks.
Okay,
he was
really
born,
a Jew.
Raised, and died a Jew. Let's remember he was going to that town for Passover.
Thank you.
When they arrested him.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
And he lived with his mother until he was like 30-something.
I mean, come on, if that's not... He's not a Jew.
And you're how old, virgin?
Huh? We're not going there, all right? I'm 21.
Oh, that's okay.
And none of them had girlfriends?
Oh, actually, you're 28.
He'll be surrounded...
Well, Peter was married, but that's what's happening.
All right, let's go into... let's see how much of this here. We're going to go to... he had the Out Magazine... did 100 gayest, greatest albums of all time.
I bet you Madonna's music was number one.
Wrong answer.
The Beatles' White Album.
Ooh, actually, that was at the bottom. Sgt. Pepper's.
Number one was David Bowie, The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars.
Wow.
Which we were talking about. The movie that was on both Logo and VH1. Classic, I think, to the earlier today.
It was.
This is back when David Bowie was the androgynous phase. Back when he was supposedly doing Mick Jagger.
Back in the 70s. Okay. Just leave it at that.
No, it was the late 60s, actually.
No, right there's the year, 72.
72, yes.
Way before we were born.
So that blows the
watch
hell
it.
Out
of
watch it.
You better watch your tongue in here.
Excuse me. I'm not like me and him.
Who
else
want to say watch it to him?
15 years.
Don't mean anything. I've still seen the video, so.
All
right.
At a time when sexual taboos were just starting to break down, Bowie as Ziggy created a world where possibilities were limitless. That font's horrible.
Yes, it is.
You could be whatever you wanted to be, and that was a quote by Boy George.
Oh, yeah.
The Smiths.
You know... It reminds me that you know, it's a little bit like that movie Labyrinth that David Bowie was part of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a glammed up you know, troll king.
Yeah.
Surround, and it's much like when he was supposedly doing, you know.
Troll king.
When, you know.
Art imitating life? Anyway. Well,
yes, when he was doing the whole Mick Jagger thing. A really attractive troll king surrounded by a really ugly old troll. Anyway.
Yeah, but now he's married to Iman. Go figure.
Have you, yeah, hello.
Like I said, leave my family out. Oh,
wow. What alien race are you again? Anyway.
Well, he did wear those tight pants, though, you know, so
The older Mick Jagger gets, the more he looks like a Skeksy, but that's another
thing. I mean, some of these I'm seeing here, just the first part here, wow, interesting ones. I've never heard of the Smiths.
The Smiths is Morrissey.
Oh, okay.
Wow,
yes.
Even I've heard the Smiths.
The Smiths, 1984, self-titled album, The Smiths.
Number three was Tracy Chapman.
That one, Fast... What, was it?
Fast Car.
Yeah.
Love that.
Indigo Girls was number four.
Indigo Girls. 1989 album.
Of course, Judy Garland has to be in here. Judy at Carnegie Hall is number five.
Oh. Yeah. Oh.
This is Judy.
That's a classic.
The Smiths, 1986 release, The Queen is Dead.
Yeah. Seven Elton John.
Elton John's still alive. Anyhow, go on.
Number seven is Elton John.
Wow.
Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road.
Goodbye, Yellow. I love that song.
Madonna, The Immaculate music. Collection is number eight.
We knew it was coming. We knew it was coming.
Only like half the songs on the CD.
Cindy Lauper, She's So Unusual.
That's number eight.
Even if there is a graphic.
We knew Cindy was in there.
Or number nine, I'm sorry. Number 10, Anthony and the Johnsons, I Am a Bird Now, from 2005.
Huh? Who?
Who?
Okay.
All right.
British.
So.
Fletchy Passion, Desperate.
Hey, I found three Pansy Division CDs at Half Price Books today.
Hey. That means you'll have, if you pick all three of them up, you'll have probably about half their collection.
Half their collection, yeah, pretty much.
So, okay, what's next on the songs?
Alright, we're going to go to number 11, Various Artists, Hedwig and the Angry Inch soundtrack from 2001.
Oh, that was a cute movie.
That
was a cute movie.
Yes, but if Velvet I never Underland, hear that soundtrack Nico's... ever again, it'll be too soon.
What?
If I never hear that soundtrack ever again. I knew a kid who insisted on singing every song from that soundtrack all afternoon long. Used to make me mashugana. It was
number
hold on. You see the expression on my face?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of the phrase, slowly I turned?
Step by step.
I can pull out Hedwig.
Read the rest of the
number
list.
Number 12, Velvet Underground and Nico's self-titled 1967 album.
Are we going to go through all 100?
We don't have time for all 100. There's only 45
we're
minutes.
We're out of okay.
There wasn't as much out there as I thought, and you know, we've already had one guy call up and go, "This show is boring."
So let's make
guess
it
what,
lively.
Skippy? There's another knob.
Woo, it's lively.
Okay, well, you know, there's this dial thing. Turn the dial. Press
Andre
the button.
Andre Franco's 1996 album Dilate.
What?
Andy DeFranco is number 13. Erasure is 14.
Love Erasure.
George Michael's Faith, 15.
Queen, A Night at the Opera from 75. Hello.
Yes. Yes.
Lou Reed, Transformer, 1972.
Okay.
That's the album that has Walk on the Wild Side.
Yes.
Right.
George Michael's Life Without Prejudice, Volume 1 album from 1990. It's number 18. 19 is the B-52's 1979 self-titled release.
Okay.
Number 20 is Queen, A Day at the Races.
Okay. Yay. Freddie Mercury and the boys. Crazy,
yeah. RuPaul's got that video, too.
Let's see. From 1971, number 21, David Bowie, Hunky Dory.
Let's just skip through here some of the ones that are a little more known. Katie Lang got Ingenue on 24. 25. 24 was Sylvester.
Wow. Ooh,
Living Proof in 1999.
Awesome.
Number 26, of course, Scissor Sisters, their self-titled album from 2004.
Love that.
Let's see. The Eurythmics.
Okay. Love them.
From 83.
Queen is on there again. Pet Shop Boys, 29.
Pet Shop Boys.
30, Diana Ross.
Why? So the thing is this, you know, okay.
Well, she did come out with another. She's still coming.
Right, well, here's the thing. We've gone through 30 of them, and no pansy division.
No.
Was there an erasure on there yet?
Yeah, yes, there was an erasure.
I had one erasure.
Elton. Actually, one half of erasure is on the album of number 35, which is Yaz Upstairs at Eric's from 82.
Okay.
Vince Clark was in Depeche Mode, sang with Alison Moyet and Yazoo, or Yaz as they're known here stateside, and he became the other half of erasure.
Ah.
Oh, interesting.
So, I mean, the Smiths again, a couple of times in the 30s. Yeah. Dusty Springfield.
Hey, when I was in high school, there was Laura a band Nio called Bronski Beat. They were like one of the early
another Pet folks. Shop Boys.
Pet Shop
from
Boys.
From number, what is yeah. it? Number 40, yeah. Melissa Etheridge, Yes I Am, from 1993, yes. is number 41.
Love Melissa.
42 is ABBA Gold from 92. I mean, come on. Really?
What?
Prince.
Purple Rain.
Well, you know.
Now, Pet Shop Boys.
She says she's not gay. She just refuses to walk.
Pet Shop Boys' 1993 album, Very, which is considered their coming out album here, according to this.
Who? What? Coming out.
Pet Shop Boys, the album, Very in 1993. The foppish synth-pop duo's coming out album, released in such a politically charged era in queer history, unspools like an unbashed crash course in gay, self-deception, can you forgive her, the AIDS crisis, dreaming of the queen, and feigned barroom indifference to speak is a sin. All to show up at the party before Neil Tennant's tenor throws open the doors and summons us to a campy utopia of a bittersweet Village People remake, Go West.
I think we have that album, don't we?
Yes, we do.
What, you thought you were immune to this torture?
Jimmy doesn't.
Oh my god.
Jimmy's not fond of that version because it was played over and over and over.
No.
For the first.
Jimmy might
10 years of art.
We've got
all of those albums.
No, you were in this.
Bikini Kill, Pussy Whipped? Yes.
Changer in the Change.
What? Hey,
the
one at a time. This is not The View.
If we really want to hurt people, we could always.
Bikini Kill is number 45. Their Pussy Whipped album from 93.
Who the hell's Bikini Kill?
I have that.
Jimmy would know.
Yeah, it's punk rock music.
Oh, okay.
And you have any? Riot Girl is actually the correct term.
Now, Rufus Wainwright rounds out the top 50.
Magnetic Field, 69 Love Songs. That's like a 4-CD set.
Mm. But there's a lot of these groups on here. I don't.
Patti Smith, Horses, from 75 to number 49. I've heard of her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, scroll to the top of this picture.
And Rufus.
Yeah.
What?
Frankie Goes to Hollywood is number 51. If you can find the original video, the European video, the one they played, I think, maybe only once on MTV, for Relax, you will see how queer it could be.
my. 59, Bronski Beat, The Age of Consent, I love Runaway.
Yeah. There's a blast from
that's the one that has Small Time Boy.
Small Town Boy, Runaway. Yeah.
I had a picture of them in my locker in high school. That's how long ago that was.
Kate Bush, Hounds of Love from 85, number 52.
But once again, I'm going, we're down here down to 60. We got REM at 60. I haven't seen Pansy people. Division yet.
Why is that so gay?
Well, because Michael Stipe is gay.
Apparently. That's not a requirement. I mean, they've got Madonna in here several times.
They have
times.
Slater Kinney, Dig Me Out.
Bjork! Soft Cell.
Hold on a second. 66, Soft Cell, Nonstop Erotic Cabaret.
There's a name.
Soft Cell
heard in years.
Is the group that brought you Tainted Love.
Yeah.
And actually, their singer is gay.
Oh yeah,
and their keyboardist
Mark Almond.
Yep,
and he has hundreds of scenes of CDs.
Which reminds me, Jimmy, Alison Moyet from Yaz will be here in a week.
No kidding.
On September 18th.
Wow.
Okay, what are y'all doing in there?
Like, oh my God. We're just singing.
We're talking about music.
Hey, Jimmy.
There are gay people in here.
Yeah, we're talking about...
I'm a music major.
Remember last night when you asked me about Roundtable and the comments I made?
Uh-huh.
I would like to present evidence, prosecution, witness, evidence number one.
I know, but that's what a roundtable is about. That's the problem.
Chris, you know you love us.
Now, here's one I know you know, Jimmy.
What?
Number 69, Francis Fay, caught in the act.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Francis
you know,
Fay
now,
was an actress, actually, in Hollywood, and she had... some mental problems, but she was also a lesbian, and they took great pains to hush that up.
Oh, that's the movie Frances?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
They've
that was number
her...
69?
Yeah. By coincidence.
How appropriate. Anyhow.
But they even quote some of her lyrics here.
And what's clever is the title of her album was Caught in the Act.
Yeah.
Which Jimmy, you don't
sure
have any
she
of
has
her.
Been several times.
Do you have any of her stuff?
No,
with
I
you?
Don't. J.D. Doyle would.
Number 70 is the original Broadway recording from Rent.
Husker Du, which is.
I did see the.
Okay, for all you kids out there who think you're emo, look up Husker Du. Okay.
Or Husker Du.
Yeah, look up Husker Du and then come talk to me about emo.
Yeah.
Le Tigre is number 65, which is more recent.
Let's click here. Like I said, I'm still waiting for Pansy Division to pop up.
You keep going.
I just have to say,
let's see, New
don't
Order,
listen to the
T-Rex, Electric Warrior.
Carole King, Tapestry.
Well, yeah. I guess.
What's gay about that? I mean, it's a great album.
It's Carole King.
They're talking about album.
Okay, yeah, anyway, whoever she is.
No, it's his gayest and greatest
gayest
albums.
Gayest albums, not covers.
No. Oh.
And off the wall, Michael Jackson is on here. Yeah.
Michael Jackson.
Because he's gay.
No.
Isn't that the one with Billie Jean? Yes.
Thank you. Yeah. There is a difference.
So. We don't.
He's a little bit of both. Who cares?
We do not claim him.
No. Yeah.
We do not claim
number
that.
Number 78, of course, is the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yay!
Picture Show soundtrack.
Yay! What?
I bet you are.
Rufus Wainwright's number 80
again.
Once again, I'm going to say it. We're up to 80. No Pansy Division.
Pansy Division.
There's the second sister sisters.
Cher, Bette Midler,
Cindy Lauper, Nina Simone,
Madonna.
Now, Nina Simone was a lesbian.
Yeah.
Okay, so that just begs the question, what was the age group they were going for here?
I mean, you've got all the way back from the 70s to current stuff. I mean, Bette Midler, the Divine Miss M.
Gotta love it.
Grace Jones.
Grace Jones.
Morrissey.
Hair. Culture.
The Hair Original Soundtrack Culture Club.
Joni Mitchell.
Janice Ian.
Janice Ian, that's a classic.
Did they even have Janis Joplin?
No, they didn't. They have Joni Mitchell.
No Janis Joplin. No Pansy
Division. Mercedes Band.
I don't know Janis Joplin was lesbian.
She was a bisexual.
Yes. Oh, okay, cool.
Oh.
Yeah, buy her a drink, she'd be sexual.
How intriguing.
The only buy her a bump.
The closest she came to sucking down a guy was Jack Daniels.
But I did like her voice.
She was very
though.
Generous with her genitals. And
yes.
Wow.
See, what a generous Janet. Going on.
This is all mainstream. A lot of this music is on this list.
Well, like some of the comments they had down there, you know, someone asked, like, where's Michelle Nadeglia? Cello.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know,
Leviticus Faggot.
Oh, Misha.
Yeah. Where is Plantation
awesome.
Lullabies, Bitter, Peace Beyond Passion. You know, there's a lot of things missing off of this list.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is music that we play here all the time, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know.
Speaking of that,
put this list out.
Out.com.
Well, they ought to be killed.
You ought to be shot for this, because, I mean...
That's not very Pacific enough, you. That's Pacifica calling.
Oh, we got
somebody calling in. We got a caller, y'all.
Where are
us? Reach into Jimmy's box and just grab something.
Oh, that sounds kind of interesting.
That's a dangerous prospect.
Just reach in and grab something.
But
don't
we do
look,
have a call, though.
Made of cardboard or denim.
Chris. We do have a call.
Jimmy's talking to him on the phone.
Oh. Okay, we don't know.
God.
What did we pick?
He picked a good one.
Random pick.
Was it Michelle?
I didn't even know.
Jeff Krasner.
Hello.
Yeah. Go down easy. What the heck?
Hey, it's Jimmy's song.
We're taking a music break right now.
Yeah, let's all go have a cigarette.
Jeff Krasner, Go Down Easy.
Woo!
We might be back.
Wow.
La da 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 da. I love to watch you taste and make you go crazy. I wanna bring out all the best you can be. You relax my mind, my spirit, break down my defenses. Can you feel the walls come down, setting us free? Just knows. Sometimes the love just flows. Tell me all your deepest, darkest secrets and pleasures. We can play any nasty scene you're dying to play. Unleash your demons, free your inhibitions. Move with the rhythm in a whole new way. Sometimes your heart just knows. Yeah.
watch The Wizard of Oz so many times when I think about the lovers I've had along the line. Stephen was Scarecrow, I was grasping at straws by keeping on hoping he'd have a clever applause. And Timothy Grimm was my man of tin. He had a great chest but nothing beaten within. Then there was Larry the Lion come roaring at my door when I told him I loved him, wasn't roaring anymore. No, how I can identify with Dorothy wandering through life, driving this yellow brick road with companions who themselves are lost. So let me tell you, this last one just about did me in. When it came to faking it, it really was a whiz. By the time I saw inside him, I was head over heels. The smoke and lights, I missed it for real. And oh, how I can identify with running away from home. So much out here is not what it appears while I'm searching for a place of my own. Looking inside for the end of my rainbow. And then one of these days a man will come without a curtain. He'll say this is me, my heart will know for certain. That he and I, we're gonna fly to a land that I heard of once in a lullaby. Ooh. He and I gonna fly way high where the little bluebirds fly.
on. There we go.
Thank you for playing that.
Well, it was Wes who reached into your box and pulled out Jimmy Somerville.
Yeah. That song,
well, you know how
Small
I
Town
like
Boy.
Boxes.
Yes. And you learned it from me.
Thank you. I knew that before I met you.
Anyways. All right.
Let's go to the video on that one.
That's Small Town Boy was the theme song for After Hours for quite a few years in the beginning of the show. Early years of the show.
It was originally by Bronski Beat.
Yes.
Which is one of the groups on this
And Jimmy Somerville, of course, was the lead singer of Bronski Beat at the time. And it's memorable because it came out mid, late 80s. Mm-hmm. And it was a big hit on the dance charts. And it was the first time an openly gay song had been a hit on the dance charts. And not just in gay clubs, either. It was a hit in all dance clubs.
Bronski Beat was the first time I had heard of a band that had, like, gay people in it that were... Ouch.
Yeah.
I was like...
Well, before...
Which was quite a thing to hear when you're a teenager in high school.
And they do still play it at Numbers every once in a while.
They played it Friday night, as a matter of fact.
Oh, okay.
It's
been a while since I've been in Numbers.
Before Jimmy Somerville, we had Mark Weigel with Oz, and started that off with Jeff Krasner, Go Down Easy. That was Small Town Boy. I write all this stuff down for Jimmy. Town Boy. All right, we're going to go back to our list there as
our
part
discussion.
Of our birthday. We've changed topics.
Yes, but I do want to mention on the air that we had a listener called in. And said that same website that you had up,
out.com,
has a listing in there somewhere of Janis Joplin and many, many, many of her lovers, both male and female.
Wow. She got busy in a short life.
Yes, she did.
And I've thought, yeah, well. So we're going to kind of continue since... Yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, when you get around anniversaries, you start talking about lists and all that. So since we're not creative enough to make up our own list, we're stealing from others.
LogoOnline.com.
So we're going to steal from Logo Online now the top 50 gay movies.
Oh.
To Wong Fu?
Quit skipping ahead, Skippy.
Hi.
The first one I haven't heard of. Loving Annabelle.
No. Heard of it.
Well, because it's a lesbian film.
Oh,
so that's totally irrelevant to us, I guess.
Yeah, it is.
What else?
It's a fishing story. Number two.
Us.
Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah.
Which I still have not seen.
It's a great, great movie.
I
thought
in French. So,
yeah, I got it.
Oh,
it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I understood what was going on.
It was actually good.
Number three is Latter Days.
Oh, that is a good one.
That is good.
We need to have a gay
That's
movie
at my house.
Has the best song ever in it.
3 a.m.?
Yeah, that's hard to do over the radio, isn't it?
On the radio, honey.
Number four, Beautiful Thing.
Yeah.
I don't think
we were talking about this because Ben was asking about gay movies to view. So we were going through some of our things. Like, well, I know there's a list online here we can find of. And I know a lot of them that we threw out are probably not going to be on this list.
How about Nine Dead Gay Guys?
What?
Oh God, that was twisted.
So like, okay.
I've got it on DVD as well.
That's a weird. It's
kind of dumb.
It's British.
Yeah.
It's British.
That's another British.
Number five. Debs.
If you haven't seen it, it's on Logo every other week. D period E period B period.
Yeah.
It's
we have that in the store where. Spies. I like,
Yeah.
Number six is Trick.
I have not seen it.
That's really
kind of a
combo. I want to
see it.
Okay, there's like three songs from the soundtrack that we play. We play the Dance Fix version of Dreamweaver from Trick, the Dance Fix version of I Am Woman, which is very good, and Como Te Gusta Mi Pinga.
I don't know any of those. And mis pantalones.
Number seven, Tipping the Velvet, which was a BBC miniseries.
What? Number 8 is Big Eden.
I've got that on DVD.
I think number 9 is Get Real.
Okay. I think I've seen that. It's like I think that's a British one.
That's a British. Yeah. A lot of the movies you're going to find on here are going to be, you know, there's going to be a good chunk that's British because, well,
because
you know, since all
got courage,
yeah. British and European.
Since the British men are all poofs anyway, they might as well make a movie about them.
Number 10, But I'm a Cheerleader.
Amazingly that's a hilarious.
That's a good one.
I'm a cheerleader.
RuPaul playing a man.
Shock.
Where wonders never cease.
Wanting to be straight.
Which is
number 11 is The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, which is
a classic.
I owned it at one point.
I'm a bad gay.
This is a bad gay.
It's not my fault.
He isn't a bad gay. No. He's a newbie.
Well, I've had the gay card since 17, but you know, I haven't used it much.
Is that a gay card or is that your membership card to the bathhouse? Anyway.
I used to tease about the fact of having a gay card. And what I would do is I would pull out my Lobo video card.
Wow, that's pretty gay.
A lot of us used to do that.
And that's pretty old, too.
I used to pull out my French Quarter card all the time, and it's another story.
Hold on.
I want one that says the agenda on it.
Right?
Huh?
What?
Does it have the sum of us?
Well, we're not there yet.
Well,
we haven't made it that far.
We're on.
We're not on number 12.
The top 50, we're getting there. Number 12 is Bound. Number 13, Angels in America. Number 14, When Night is Falling.
Mm.
15, Fingersmith.
Number 16, we've all been talking about this tonight, Torch Song Trilogy.
Right. Yeah.
I have to see that.
That movie is so old, when it came out, the soundtrack was on LP.
Torch Song Trilogy.
When you talk about actors taking a brave stand to do a play gay, Matthew Broderick.
Yes.
Playing gay.
Number 17 is Desert Hearts.
Mm-hmm.
18, Better Than Chocolate. Number 19, The Broken Hearts Club, a romantic comedy.
I learned the term newbie. And then there was Dean Cain playing gay.
Yeah, Dean Cain playing gay for one of his two times, and he still says he's not gay.
Dean Cain. We want him.
Superboy.
Lois and Clark.
Ami and Jaguar is 20.
Ami and Jaguar is?
Yes.
Good movie.
Never heard of it.
Maurice.
Maurice, that's when we're Hugh Grant in, right?
Hugh Grant. Yep.
Yeah.
He's a great good
22, movie. Mambo Italiano.
That was hilarious.
23, Die, Mommy, Die.
Yes, Charles Bush, I love you.
I love it.
Haven't seen it.
So for those of you who are interested in that, you've got Jason Priestley playing bisexual.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Honey, just because he paid
for it. Did you see his ass in it?
Woohoo!
24, Boys Don't Cry.
Good.
Camp.
25 is Camp, which we play that CD.
Don't judge me.
26, Saving Face. 27, The Birdcage.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Number 28, Adam and Steve.
French movie, so the French do have funny
29 is Edge of 17. Number 30, The Son of Us.
Number 30,
Russell Crowe.
Hi.
It's fussy.
Next page.
Yeah. We're waiting for it to refresh on the next line.
Madonna.
31 is Fire.
Never heard of that.
32, The Incredibly True Adventure of Two Girls in Love.
Number
I'm sorry, it was lesbianism. I couldn't wrap my tongue around it.
Oh.
33, Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Yes.
Number 34, It's My Party.
It's My Party and I'll Die If I Want.
35 is Soldier's Girl. 36,
seen that. I love it.
Soldier's Girl is good.
Is 36 is Gia.
Seen that.
37, Rocky Horror.
Oh, of course, seen that.
38, Transamerica.
Seen that.
That's a good one.
39, The Boys in the Band.
Wow.
Boys in the Band.
I mean, we talk
that's
about
like
that
the first.
Yeah, I mean it's very one of the original gay films, much decried because it was too realistic.
Number 40 really. Is one I forget, and that's Philadelphia.
Oh, yes, Tom Hanks did an excellent.
I walked out of that movie crying.
Antonio Banderas.
I walked out of that movie absolutely crying.
He played so
fine. In every movie.
Number 41 is everybody's favorite, Tu Wong Fu.
And I got more. I still got more legs than a bucket of chicken.
I've not seen that.
Number 42, Chutney Popcorn. Haven't seen this. Number 43, High Art.
Very good movie.
44, Ma Vie en Rose.
I haven't seen it, but everyone's like,
My Life in
Have
Red.
You seen the French movie? You speak it.
Number 45, Kissing Jessica Stein.
Heard of it.
46, Jeffrey is...
I haven't seen it.
I was talking about that earlier.
47, Billy's Hollywood Screen Kiss.
That's where Sean Hayes actually was playing a gay character. And that's part of the... I mean, he was playing a gay character that actually fooled around a little. Right. Other than his other gay character, which was pretty celibate. But that's part of the controversy of, is he really gay or not?
And he would never say, and it was like, oh, please, Mary.
The guy who plays the positive character in Jeffrey, he basically started out his career in the movie The Howling.
Yeah.
He had a lot more hair and a lot more on his head and a lot more hair on his face.
Number 48 is Peter Jackson's classic Heavenly Creatures.
Heavenly Creatures.
Just watched that the other day.
Very good movie. Number 49, Jackson, Gods and Monsters.
Gods and Monsters.
Haven't seen it.
What the hell's 50?
Yeah, that's real good. 50 isn't even on here.
Maybe 50 is up
no
to
50?
Like I said, what are some of your gay... The one that I threw out that was an unusual one of film that I recommend is Norman, Are You There? Which is an early 70s. You've got all the classics there. You've got an interracial, gay, closeted couple.
I don't have to get back on the yellow number.
Which comes, you get into, basically, African American who moves to California, has a white boyfriend, and all of a sudden his dad shows up, mm-hmm. who's played by Red Fox.
Ooh.
And
I want to see that. Red Fox being in the movie.
And basically, Red Fox is there because he caught his wife cheating with his brother. And so the title of it comes from him calling on the intercom system, Norman, is that you? So basically, since the son's not out, he has to throw his boyfriend out, mm-hmm. and later he comes back and finds out he's gay, and then you got Red Fox, trying to find out about homosexuality, getting the books, goes out and rents a hooker for his son, tries to do all this stuff, and it's an interesting thing. You got Waylon Flowers and Madam in it.
Even further back, The Little Foxes and Tea and Sympathy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There are two movies that come to mind. One that caused a lot of controversy was Cruisin'.
Yeah.
Cruisin'. Never seen it. Because it was about a specific part of a segment of our community. Murders amongst the leather crowd and the,
And that was an excellent film.
And anybody ever see the Angela Lansbury movie Something for Everyone?
Oh yes.
Now I want to.
There's a gay character who's being blackmailed. There's somebody who's killed somebody who's being blackmailed. I mean, it's hysterical. I mean, there's all this blackmail going on. And it's going on between these teenage kids and their parents and the butler and it's hysterical.
What about Capote?
Haven't seen it.
Yeah. There's a couple of European releases too. Come Undone and Nico and Danny and recently.
Oh yeah, Nico and Danny. I remember doing that. It was the Gay Lesbian Film Festival. I went and saw Nico and Danny.
That was a good one.
And Hedwig.
Yeah.
And so I came back when I did a review. It's basically two movies that involve masturbation of 15-year-old boys.
Ew.
Nico and Danny's also known as the title's also known as Krampuk.
Which is.
Does anybody remember a movie that was Strawberries and Chocolate? It was a foreign film, I think, as I remember, and there was.
Wes remembers.
It was just.
I
I don't remember the movie completely, but it was.
I don't remember the entire storyline, but I think it involved two people from different cultures who just.
Wasn't it, Before Night Falls is another one. Night it's a gay Cuban story. Mm-hmm.
Kiss of the Spider Woman.
Kiss of the Spider Woman. You can, yeah, there you go. The movie version of
that's
that.
That's an old one.
You know, there's also ones you'll find a little subtle text in there. Yeah. The Last of Sheila has a little gay twist in it. I love that movie. Mm-hmm. Haven't seen it in a while.
So did the original movie, A Haunting, had kind of a gay twist to one of the characters. Was a lesbian.
Wow, it's almost time for us to go.
Yep. It's we've killed another 3 hours.
Yay.
Hi, kids.
Yeah.
Next week we'll come.
Much love. Blessed be. Good night.
Say lovey.
See you next time.
Everybody. We've been here for 21 years.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
And hopefully we will be back for more.
So hopefully next week somebody's going to bring the alcohol.
You have been listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, and listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston. If you want to get in touch with us, you can send us a traditional snail mail at After Hours, care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard, Houston, Texas, 77006. Or you can send us an email at afterhours@kpft.org. Coming up at the top of the hour, it is Zydeco Pasale. Until next week. Here are your PSAs.
SGI USA Houston presents the 2008 Culture Festival, Performing for Peace, on Saturday, October 4th, from 2 to 6 p.m. at Mecca, located at 1900 Kane Street in downtown Houston, featuring live dance and music performances from across the globe, including drumming, hip-hop, spoken word, ethnic dance, string and vocal performances, and many local musicians and artists. SGI USA is a world peace organization based on the teachings and philosophy of Nichiren Buddhism, which places the highest emphasis on the sanctity of life, peace throughout the world, and the happiness of all humanity. For more information on the 2008 Culture Festival, visit myspace.com/SGI_Culture Festival 2008. This is 90.1 KPFD Houston.
HotAirOpen.org is the website. Sunday, September 21 is the date. What you wear is up to you, but your participation is requested. HotAirOpen.org will not tell you how to address the ball. It will give you registration information for a benefit golf tournament for KPFT. A 1 p.m. shotgun start to a four-man scramble format held at Bear Creek Masters Course. HotAirOpen.org will explain that your Greens Fee, Cart, Dennis Walker Design T-shirt, After Party Food and Beer are all included with your entry fee. Please RSVP by September 10. HotAirOpen.org has funky pictures of Cajun bandstands.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.